The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
Friday, January 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning. So, of course, this first round of a wintry mix hit the area last night and just in time to mess up our morning commute. At the Montgomery County PennDOT Depot in Norristown, salt trucks were prepared. So PennDOT has 120,000 tons of salt stockpiled, and 256 trucks were sent out for the snow. They said this was like a full operation for this little wintry mix that we got. When it comes to dispatching and snow clearance rate, timing is everything, PennDOT says. So after the storm in November, Montgomery County restocked about 17,000 tons of salt in preparation for future storms like today and then the one we're going to get over the weekend. A number of schools are delayed this morning, including all Philadelphia schools. More snow, rain, and a mixture of both is expected later Saturday, like Preston was mentioning, into Sunday. We're expecting 1 to 3 inches in most areas, with accumulation, more accumulation in the Lehigh Valley, about 3 to 5 inches. And then in the Poconos, 6 to 12 inches. Sunday is when we have that potential for a flash freeze. So Sunday going into Monday. On Sunday morning, we're going to see temperatures that are going to be as warm as the mid-40s, they're
saying.
Yeah.
With now, rain, right?
If we have temperatures in the mid-40s and we're still seeing precipitation, yeah, it's all going to be rain. So they're saying about 50% of the region will see heavy rain and a lot of ponding on the roadways. So this is where the problem's going to be, because behind that system, meteorologists are saying there's an Arctic air that's going to move into the area. So by Sunday afternoon, temperatures are going to crash into the 20s. So we're going to go from mid-40s to 20s by 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
But on the on the plus side, on Monday, a lot of people will be off, right?
Yeah, because it's Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, right. My kids don't have school,
there
so
you go.
Don't worry about transportation on that day.
I wonder if there's going to be like a definitive wall, right?
Like a solid wall of ice?
Well, a solid wall of ice wind. You know what I mean?
Well, large chunks of ice blowing through the air.
Like how? No.
Is that what you mean? No. So it's not precipitation, the flash freeze.
No. I'm talking about the air temperature.
Oh, like,
there
okay.
There could be a wall.
I got what you're saying. Like in the
cold air.
Yeah.
The day after tomorrow, right? Was that where they...
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
There's like a polar vortex or something, and the second they step out of the helicopter, they freeze.
Yeah, something like that.
That's probably what's going to happen.
So by 1 o'clock on Sunday, we'll see temperatures in the mid-20s and then eventually into the single digits overnight. So anything on any surface that is wet from the rain in the morning or the leftover slush from any of the storms today or the one Saturday night will freeze over quickly. And they're saying it'll start to freeze on Sunday afternoon and then obviously... become a solid block of ice when we go into the single digits overnight.
I'll tell you, it's the rate of speed, though, if that's your about how quickly you're going, that temperature shift happening that quickly.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's talking about.
That's Casey's wall.
That's Casey's wall.
That's my wall.
Yep.
And by the way...
It was called Casey's wall, and it killed everyone.
The Eagles, your Philadelphia Eagles, did you a favor, guys, by not having that great of a season. Could you imagine if they were hosting an NFC Championship game yesterday?
Or
this weekend, yeah.
So the change from water to ice will happen fast, and the flash freeze will set in. A jury has found Joshua Huppertz guilty of murder of the Temple University student that he killed in the summer of 2017, Jenna Burley. After deliberating less than 90 minutes Thursday, the jury convicted 30-year-old Huppertz on all counts. The judge called the crime outrageous and depraved, the worst he has seen in a long time, he says.
Brutal.
He then sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Huppertz was accused of beating, stabbing, and strangling 22-year-old Jenna Burley in his North Philadelphia apartment in August of 2017. Huppertz and Burley met at a Temple area bar. Then at closing time, the pair left and went to his apartment a short distance away in the 1700 block of North 16th Street, where there was a brutal altercation and he killed her. He then transported her body to his mother's garage in Jenkintown and then to his grandmother's property in the Poconos, where it was ultimately discovered. In a surprise twist, Huppertz pleaded guilty to abuse of a corpse, but his attorney then claimed in court that Jenna's killer was Huppertz's roommate who was asleep in another part of the apartment. Jenna's parents both gave impact statements at the sentencing. They described Jenna as a caring and compassionate person who wanted peace. Given the life sentence, his attorney will be looking at options to appeal for a lighter sentence or even a new trial. A Pennsylvania Police Department's request for volunteers to get drunk for law and order purposes generated a predictably enthusiastic response. The Kutztown Police Police Department sought three volunteers to drink hard liquor to the point of inebriation so officers could be trained how to administer field sobriety tests during traffic stops.
How many of those were students that wanted to sign up?
Well, you know what? They had to be 25 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of profession actively has their employees get drunk?
Yeah. I know. Jeez.
It just seems so weird.
A call
well, these are volunteers. Oh, you mean us.
Us,
yeah,
us.
I'm sorry. Very perceptive.
A call for volunteers on Facebook.
And, you know, like, then what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, broadcast it? This is crazy.
It's so weird. Do, like, games and
games
stuff?
Games and stuff? What are we, idiots?
A call for volunteers on Facebook accumulated hundreds of responses and over 1,000 shares in less than a day. The post was soon updated with the news that the department had its volunteers for the April 4th training session. Volunteers were required to have a clean criminal history, be between the ages of 25 and 40, and have a responsible party to take care of them after the training.
All right, so, but do they give them special consideration in case they do get out of control? Like, let's say one of them, I don't know, does, like, pressed ham while covered in ice cream against the window.
I don't think they would get in trouble.
No, okay.
I think it's, kind of like
a controlled... But it's my understanding that when that's happened, they did get special consideration.
All right, good. Yeah.
Participants are also required to be willing to drink hard liquor until inebriated. This type of exercise is not out of the ordinary for police departments, but they said the response was a little bit.
Yeah. Mm.
In sports this morning...
Sacks are yummy.
Dolphin. Where's Dolphin? There he is. Okay.
Just waiting for
him. Yeah, man.
Just waiting for my buddy. The Sixers beat the Pacers 120-96 last night in Indiana.
Oh.
Joel Embiid had 22 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists to lead the Sixers to their 7th win in 9 games. Jimmy Butler added 27 points and 8 assists as the Sixers shot 53% and finished with 38 assists, the most by an Indiana opponent this season. In a matchup of two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, the Sixers improved to 2-1 in the 4-game season series, and the road team has won all 3 games. With the win, the Sixers move within percentage points of Indiana for third place in the East. They're back home tomorrow night in a nationally televised game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and tip-off is at 3:30. The Flyers, who have won 2 games in a row and 3 of their last 4, are on the road tomorrow night with their last game before the All-Star break. They play the Canadiens in Montreal, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. The championship games for the NFL are this weekend. In the NFC, the New Orleans Saints and LA Rams will play the first game in the Big Easy at 3:05. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots will play the AFC title game for the 8th straight year as they travel to Kansas City to face Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kickoff for the second game is scheduled for 6:40. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. And welcome to Friday morning, giving away our Word of the Week prize. We will do that very thing. We'll give away $1,000, too. If you're lucky, it might be you. We have good Go Fund Yourself, and we'll do that as we get to around 8 a.m. And, of course, there's a chance to make that $10,000. Details at WMMR.com on that. Friends from Godshall's Turkey Bacon stopping in today, so they always bring a plethora of giveaways. So
a plethora.
Have plenty of opportunities for you to win some freebies from those guys and whatever else we have sitting here in the studio. We will give away today, so a lot of giveaways. A couple of great guests on the program today. Our good friend Frank Caliendo will be at Dover Downs, a hotel and casino tonight. So Frank is stopping in this morning.
Yeah, I think he's just down the street in the hotel.
Yeah, he'll be here actually in fairly short order. In about 45 minutes, we'll have Frank on, so we'll see what's up in his world. And a guy I've admired for a long time and have always wanted to meet, drummer of Def Leppard, Rick Allen, will be here this morning.
That's pretty cool.
About to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And listen, what he's been able to do with one arm and providing a sound beat and foundation for that band that continues to be very, very successful, it's really impressive. So he's actually an artist as well, and he's got a live in-gallery appearance at Wentworth Gallery at the Hard Rock Hotel tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. And then Sunday, he's going to be at the Wentworth Gallery in King of Prussia. So we'll have Rick stopping in around 8 o'clock this morning to tell us
about
that. Yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to that. So we have these things and more to get to. Let's go ahead and break, come back in a moment, and I'll get into that entertainment report and stupid question giveaways, all that stuff when we get back. Be safe this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's do some giveaways. We're going to have a stupid question for you. Going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to Philly Auto Show, and it's back February 2nd through the 10th. And I'm going to do one. Nick, you'll like this. What band originally called itself Mookie Blaylock? 215-263-WMMR. Actually, pretty easy question. If you're a fan of this band specifically, what band originally called itself Mookie Blaylock? 215-263-WMMR. I will go through some birthdays. Today is Friday, January 18th, and we'll start with this. I'm going to start with an actor. I didn't know it was his birthday today. In fact, I need to pull up how old he is. Let's see. His name is Mark Rylance, and he's 59 years old. So this is the guy, if you saw Ready Player One, he plays James Halliday.
Yes.
The guy who dies.
He's a good actor. Whole
thing. He was also in Bridge of Spies. He plays the Russian spy.
I think he won an Oscar for that.
Did he win an Oscar for that?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He's sort of becoming the it character actor.
He was in Dunkirk.
Yes.
He owns the private boat. You know, they follow that story.
Love that story.
I really like this guy.
Wait, he was also the giant in BFG.
He was.
Yeah, I like him. So happy 59th birthday to him. It's also Jonathan Davis's birthday today. He celebrates his 48th birthday today, and we've had
it's an intense birthday.
Had him here in the studio. He's a nice guy.
He is. Yeah.
He was. He doesn't like doing interviews, and he was open about that with us. But he was really engaging.
We won him over, and by the end, he was cheering us and asking for our phone numbers.
Then you have Jason Segel, actor. Great movies like Forgetting Sarah Marshall and I Love You, Man, and. He was, you know, How I Met Your Mother and so on and so forth.
Goes all the way back to Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. He's great, man.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been doing a whole lot lately, though, has he?
I think he's been producing and writing.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen any other projects.
So today is his 39th birthday today. Hey, it's also Kevin Costner's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
I loved having him on the show a while back.
That was so cool, man.
Great guy. I mean, he's on the phone, but, you know.
It's all right.
Yeah.
He's been in so many awesome movies, and it's really wild to go back because not that long ago, Silverado was on, and he looks like a kid.
He does. I love his character, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays kind of a kid-type character in that movie.
And you guys watched that show, I think it's on IFC, but Yellowstone?
I've heard great things about it, and I always forget to watch it, but Costner's in the show, and he's supposed to be phenomenal.
Yes, the Paramount Network, and that's one of those networks that I just don't go to, but I've heard it's a phenomenal show. I got to check it out.
What's it about?
It's about this rancher in and around Yellowstone, and then I guess there's a family drama attached to it, but he's the star.
Okay. A big birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Kevin Costner, 64 today. Actor Jesse L. Martin, who you may know from Law & Order and also The Flash.
He's a hell of a singer, too.
He is, man. In Rent, I was so impressed with him.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he plays a character named Collins in that.
Does he sing your song?
Yes.
I thought so.
Actually, he does.
I was trying to freaking find it in Vox Pro. I can't find it.
Freaking.
I'm mad. Because I know what his wedding song is, and I wanted to play it.
It's called I'll Cover You, and there's two versions of it, and he sings both of them.
He's in the movie version, as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, yes. So he turns the big 5-0 today, Jesse L. Martin. And then the last birthday, NHL great Mark Messier.
Wow.
You know, of course, we couldn't like him because he played for the Rangers, but... no questioning what talent that guy had.
Played for the Oilers, too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's in the heyday.
We used to, in grade school, we would go like, Mark Messier! Mark Messier!
Was that grade school or college?
No, that was grade school because the Oilers had played the Flyers.
Mark Messier!
in the finals. But it was, you know, it was when my voice wasn't as low, too. Mark Messier!
Okay.
Yeah.
I so that wasn't an affectation. That was just by nature that your voice was higher.
No, we would also do the affectation as well.
All right.
But it was like extra high. You could probably break glass with it.
All right. I got you. I'm going to predict it's going to be a Casey Day today.
Oh, it will be. Yeah, yeah.
You think so?
That's not a bad thing. No, I love Casey Days.
Really?
But I can tell.
Kathy instantly opposes that concept.
By the conversations that we have before the show goes on, I can tell.
Oh, I know the conversation you're talking about.
Does that mean you're going to let me play that song later? That 20-minute tweezer from
Fish? Okay. No. You mean the fish conversation?
The fish, his passion for fish. He's been inspired by music this morning.
Yep. You mean the specific topic of the conversation? Or just the
zeal?
Or just the constant talking?
The delivery of it and,
the excitement.
So, the passion.
Yeah.
The passion of the Casey.
So, happy birthday to
Messier!
Who's 58 today. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What man was originally titled, their name, was Mookie Blaylock. And I will go to, hey, can I go to a guy named Vetter?
Yeah.
Hey, Vetter, how you doing?
Yeah.
All right, what band was it?
It's my band. It's the Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Hang on just a second.
The impression kind of fell apart.
We have that new Pearl Jam song?
We do. Four Corners. I got to grab that, man.
While you get it, we're going to set him up with a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. And the Philly Auto Show is back February 2nd to the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. Nothing like it. You can visit PhillyAutoShow.com for the details. Here was the new Pearl Jam song that we played just a few days ago. Here we go.
Hey there, Nick. Nick McAway. Hey, Nick, Nick McAwayne, I got you.
By the way, you know what's funny about that little thing?
Yeah, that 25 seconds?
That we played last week in the radio, in the rock industry, we got a lot of press for that.
Yeah.
Which was not the intention at all.
No.
Because sometimes people will do stunty things and they'll say, hey, we're going to do this big new thing. Mm-hmm. And then they do the old switcheroo on you and it's not really what it is. And it was almost painted as if we were going to pretend like we had this brand new Pearl Jam music and fool the audience. It was just, Casey was just doing a dig on Nick.
It was
like this last second thing.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we got new Pearl Jam music. Here, listen to this. And we played it. And all of a sudden, the next day, all these headlines are splashed all over the radio industry that we were pretending that we had this new Pearl Jam song. We're like, wow, that was bizarrely unintended.
Yeah, that was hilarious. There was also a funny social media response because people thought that we were actually debuting new Pearl Jam music.
Yeah.
So the headline was new Pearl Jam music, and people, without even looking or realizing that it was a joke, would just respond, Pearl Jam sucks. Which is fine if that's what your opinion is.
Yeah.
However, the whole thing was a joke. So explore what the actual post is before you respond with a blanket.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam sucks.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, let's get into some of these entertainment stories. We'll start with the Super Bowl. Music legend Gladys Knight
has
signed on to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
I think that's awesome.
She'll be doing the national anthem. She's an amazing singer. What?
She is. I just think she's she's one of the masked singers, by the way.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
Casey's
she's
watching that stinking masked singer
it's
show.
It's a terrible show, but and you don't know who's behind the mask, and I think she's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do they go all season before they reveal everybody?
No, at the end of every show, they vote somebody off.
Oh.
So she has made it to further rounds because clearly she's a good singer.
Okay.
Hey, so
maybe.
Yeah.
She was neck and neck with Terry Bradshaw.
So she will be singing the national anthem next month in Atlanta. Maroon 5 confirmed last weekend as a headliner for the game and for the halftime show. And Travis Scott and Big Boy are expected to be guest performers. Now, several other music events are scheduled leading up to the big game on Saturday, February 2nd. Rolling Stone hosts Rolling Stone Live Atlanta at Goat Farm Arts Center, which features performances by Ludacris, Young Thug, as well as Gunna and Lil Keed.
Come on! Unbelievable.
Gunna and Lil Keed. And Young Thug will be playing with Ludacris.
Anybody heard? I mean, obviously we heard it. Ludacris is from Atlanta, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody ever hear of any of those other clans?
I actually have heard of a couple of them, but I don't know.
I'm a member of the Lil Keed fan club.
I'm the president.
I'm a booster, actually. So also showcase. They will also showcase DJ sets from Questlove. Meanwhile, Aerosmith, Bruno Mars, and Cardi B are set to perform during the 3-day Super Bowl Music Fest.
Aerosmith is the only rock band
that will be taking place. It's wild how this has become a multi-show event.
And they keep milking it.
And they add more days to it. I mean, I'm wondering how...
Like a festival.
How far this can go. Will it eventually turn into a full week?
Will it start the day after the previous Super Bowl?
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to see. 97-year-old Duke of Edinburgh may have retired from public life, but he is still driving his Range Rover. Prince Philip was pulling... Prince Philip was pulling out of a driveway of the royal family's Sandringham estate when he and another vehicle collided. Eyewitnesses tell the BBC that they helped Queen Elizabeth's husband out of his car. He was conscious but very shaken. Two people in the other car were treated for minor injuries. Mind you, he's 97.
97, and he wasn't bad.
And he was driving.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Why is he driving?
Probably, I want to drive.
Well, that's a good question. I would assume it would be just on the estate.
Yeah, which is pretty much where they were.
But I don't know. I'd have to look, Kath. I'm not sure where he was headed to.
Can't they give him, like one of those electric Escalades that kids drive?
I just assumed that they were driven everywhere. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Look at me. I'm in an Escalade. This is rather fun.
If you do watch shows and movies about the royal family, like the movie The Queen, she loved to drive. And in fact, I think as a kid, she was taught how to be a mechanic, but Kathy, she would drive on their estates, which are huge,
right?
You know, so she could drive around on her own.
And then the Crown, he would just take off, like he would get in a sports car in a convertible, and he would just jet out of Buckingham Palace. I don't know how realistic it was.
This is my Range Rover, and I'll take on your pussy ass Toyota.
He's street racing out in front of the estate.
Yeah, I actually turned on a documentary yesterday, and like they can all fly. No, they can fly a plane.
pilot an aircraft. Well, fast one. This is absolutely wrong. You're lying.
Why do you think they're royals?
Yeah, right.
They can fly.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't
realize. Who will lead us? Well, the people that can fly are a good start.
I was also thinking about how the hell did that family become the family that were the leaders
it goes back centuries.
Yeah, I know, but they're a goofy looking bunch of people.
Well,
man.
It was never. You look through history; it's never been about looks.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, it is now. It's getting there.
Well, thankfully, just in time for me to die.
No, it used to be when the feudal system was what it was. It was about strength and power and
land ownership
mm-hmm. and all of that. And you had to protect these people and give them work. And since that responsibility has gone away, you don't necessarily have to be big, opposing, good looking, or anything like that. You just have to have the blood.
You have to be able to find the keys to the Range Rover.
This might be a stupid question, but
please,
do they actually have money, like funds?
Oh yeah.
They have
lots of money. Okay. They're not living, paycheck to paycheck.
And apparently, Kathy, to answer your question, people were saying they were surprised he was still driving on public roads, driving himself on public roads, which is what this was. But he's always been fiercely independent and would have resisted any suggestion that they would deny his right to drive.
Give me the remote. No, I want to watch my shows. Give me the remote. Give it to me. I want to watch my television shows.
Your stories.
It's the cell phone. Give it to me.
Well, at some point, they may have to say, sir, your Royal Highness, you can't go on the road.
I have an option.
What?
Since the steering wheel is on the wrong side anyway over there.
Yeah.
You get one of those Fisher-Price wheels.
Oh, he'll never know.
He'd never know.
They could probably rig
up. I love this horn. Hing, hing.
They could probably rig up a system in the back seat where someone could drive it.
Look, it has an abacus on it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but the fact that he is, honestly, you talk about the lives, you talk about her and their lives together. Watch The Crown. That little chunk of their lives is 9 lifetimes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The Archbishop, John Santamo, tweeted out a prayer in support of the Duke, but other observers on social media shared their relief that the Duke was unhurt and then urged for additional prayers for someone to take away his car keys. Netflix is being slammed over its use of footage of a real-life tragedy in the fictional hit Bird Box. The giant streamer says that it has no plans to remove the footage, which appears early in the movie. Wow. The fatal accident occurred in Canada in 2013, killed more than 40 people when a train carrying crude oil derailed in a town outside of Quebec. In addition to several dozen fatalities, dozens of homes and businesses were destroyed.
It was stock news footage.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
The mayor of Lac Megantic, Julien Morin, told reporters, we're looking for assurances from Netflix that they are going to remove them. You can be sure that we are going to follow up on this, and our citizens are on our side. Netflix is not the first outlet to use that footage. In the sci-fi drama Travelers, they use stock footage of the incident in a season 3 episode.
And movies do it all the time. If you'll see, you know, like in the beginning of, for example, Dawn of the Dead, they have a collection of news footage that's disasters and things like that.
They do like World War Z.
Right.
And, you know, when the world is going to hell.
Right.
If there's actual video footage of explosions and things like that,
they'll go to that.
They'll use them, yeah. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth may have recently tied the knot at a private Nashville ceremony, but the singer is denying that there's a baby on the way for two. The Daily Mail report surfaced Wednesday claiming the couple was expecting their first child, a girl, and planning to raise her in Australia, where Hemsworth is from. The rumors made their way back to Miley, who shut down the gossip with a tweet. She wrote, "I am not egg-specting, but it's egg-cellent. To hear everyone so happy for us, we're happy for us too. Egg-cited for this next chapter in our lives. Now, can everyone leave me alone and go back to staring at an egg?" And she's referencing the Kylie Jenner thing.
Yes, yeah.
Which is a tweet or an Instagram photo, I'm sorry, that got the most likes ever. And it's just a picture of an egg. You guys, I'm sure, saw this. And she also tweeted out a photo of her standing next to a giant egg writing, "Nothing breaks like an egg." They got married while we were gone, guys.
Yeah.
While we were on break. They tied the knot in a low-key ceremony in front of friends and family on December 23rd. The two later went on about each other in sweet photos taken on their wedding day. He wrote, My love. That showed him with a picture embracing Cyrus in a wedding gown.
You're awesome.
The singer wore a gorgeous white Vivienne Westwood wedding dress, which retails for around $8,600.
You remember their house burned in the wildfire, Preston.
Mm-hmm.
And then they donated something back like $500,000 or $1 million to the people to rebuild in that area.
Now that the two are husband and wife, Cyrus seemed to open up more about her love in a sweet post when Hemsworth turned 29 on the 13th. He said, "I'm proud of the person you have become. And look forward to all the good we will contribute together in the future." She wrote, "You and me, baby, let's take this dark place head on and shine through with the light of love.
Shut the f*** up!
What dark place are we talking about here?
I assume her cooter. Have you ever seen the brothers Hemsworth all lined up? There's Chris and there's Liam and then there's like...
And then there's...
Forrest.
Yeah, Barney.
There's like a third, like, you know, you sure you're one of the brothers? I mean, he's a good-looking dude, but he's not Chris and Liam Hemsworth good-looking.
Is he just smaller?
He just doesn't look like one of the brothers. Yeah. He actually looks pretty good in this picture.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, he was a little more homunculus-looking when I first saw him.
It's hard when anyone stands next to Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, even Matt Damon complained about that.
Well, and then Liam, you put him by himself, he's totally fine. Put him next to Chris, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
She wrote, "Thank you for giving me the happiest days of my life. Truly, yours truly, M."
So they're all happy. The romance is there, and it is strong.
Mm-hmm. Amy Schumer has never been afraid to take on body shamers. The pregnant comedian took to her Instagram story to blast an account for sharing a photoshopped picture of herself as an example of a before and after photo editing job. The post, shot of Schumer, shooed an evened out skin tone and slimmed down jawline. And the account captioned it, "Like what I did with Amy Schumer, I will do that for you too." She shared a screenshot with a disgusted commentary that wrote, "Woof, this is not good for our culture." and I like how I look, and I don't want to look like a carbon copy of this one type of woman you feel is the best way to look. She has long been a foe of retouching. She had told CBS This Morning, I said, do not retouch me in this movie. Do not retouch anything. You see my cellulite, you see my rolls, whatever. It's like I feel great, and I want other women, other people too, to feel good about themselves. And I think that walking out of this movie, you really do. So I guess she was talking about that last movie she was in.
Oh, yeah, which I thought was not too bad.
Well,
yeah.
I feel pretty?
Yeah, it was kind of ripped apart. It wasn't that bad. I'm looking at the original picture, and there's the original and then the my edit. I'm not so sure I would have identified that as Amy Schumer in the original.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not a
classic Amy Schumer
typical
look.
Picture yeah. of her. The blistering Michael Jackson documentary premiering at Sundance will also feature angry pro-Jackson protesters. Local police are gearing up for possible confrontations.
Yeah.
Law enforcement sources tell TMZ the Park City PD is aware of an anti-documentary protest being organized on social media.
Wicked back and firecrackers, yes, boom, bah.
So cops are going to beef up the presence both inside and outside the premiere with uniformed and undercover officers.
It's about time someone goddamn stuck up for me.
Law enforcement is also concerned about disruptions taking place during the Q&A portion of the screening. Historically, that's when protesters have caused the biggest disturbance.
How volatile is this documentary supposed to be? Is it really going after Jackson?
I think that's the word.
Is it worth Sim Bashir?
However, cops won't stop people from exercising their First Amendment rights so long as protesters don't block sidewalks or entrances. The doc, Leaving Neverland, explores alleged sexual abuse by the King of Pop, and the film is already being slammed by the late singer's estate. Despite outside pressure to pull the film, Sundance officials say that it is full steam ahead on that.
Doo-doo and feces. Do you know the interview with Macaulay Culkin that was just making the rounds? He talks about his relationship with Michael Jackson, but says, as an adult man, and he says without any, you know, there's no vagary about it, he says that everything was on the up and up.
Yeah.
They were almost, he said, bizarrely peers. It wasn't like an older brother or a, they were, he was really, Jackson was really like a man child. You know, but remember when they went into Neverland and the cameras are going around and there was that hidden staircase that was sort of a shrine to Home Alone?
Yeah.
And the Macaulay Culkin pictures. I mean, everyone, you know, there's a collective. Oh, my God.
Yep, I do. All Sundance events, by the way, have increased security, including bag checks and bomb dogs. But extra resources will be allocated for the Michael Jackson screening.
We're going to have to pat down your monkey.
When it premieres next Friday.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, Preston, that Fyre Festival, that was it, the doc, right?
Fry,
that documentary, I think it premieres this weekend on Netflix.
Okay. Nina Dobrev, the 30-year-old Fam actress, appeared on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen after her show Wednesday, and a viewer asked her about her friendship with her ex Ian Somerhalder and his wife Nikki Reed. And she said, I don't think that's weird at all. Apparently, they're friends.
They are. Everyone knows that.
She said, that's great. Why can't everyone be friends? And I think they have a beautiful baby. They are happy, and so am I. What's bad about that? I don't see any problem with that. So apparently she's okay being friends with her ex and that whole deal.
Well, they were on the series Vampire Diaries, and they were going hot and heavy throughout that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dumped her and immediately married this other girl.
Okay.
But she's made peace with it, Preston.
That's good. I'm happy for her and them.
That's good.
Well, that's good.
In a widely anticipated move, Harvey Weinstein and his lead lawyer, Ben Braffman, are going their separate ways. We mentioned this the other day. This is 4 months ahead of his criminal trial on sex assault charges.
That doesn't telegraph good things about the state of his case.
Weinstein's spokesperson said Mr. Weinstein has authorized Mr. Braffman to formally notify Judge Burke of his decision to withdraw as counsel for Mr. Weinstein in connection with the legal matters currently pending. So he's going to have to find a new lawyer.
How many court cases is he looking at?
Don't know.
It has to be a lot.
There were
about 70 or 80, allegations against him.
Correct, but only a few going to court.
Going to court, yeah.
Limitations, I think. Yeah, I'm not really sure, Steve.
This trial itself has 6 charges alone.
All right.
Okay.
Wow.
And then one last thing, Fox's The Masked Singer with panelists Ken Jeong, Jenny McCarthy, Nicole Scherzinger, and Robin Thicke is currently the top-rated new series of 2018.
Oh, no way.
Among adults.
It's doing great.
18 to 49, according to the Hollywood Reporter.
It's doing great.
That is insane.
It is.
So, all right, so the thing is...
I mean, listen, you know that I can watch crap. I love crappy movies. Right. Crappy, I can't watch this.
I just
watch it the way
so
I watched
dumb.
It's very,
watch it
very
the
silly.
Eyes of a child.
No, watch it like this. DVR it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I literally watched an hour's show... In about 10 to 12 minutes, all the other filler stuff is crap, right? God.
It's all crap.
If you just want to watch the performances, and maybe a little bit before each performance, so you can maybe try, because they give you a little hints as to who is actually singing. So, I think the poodle is Margaret Cho.
Like, just the conversation and the words coming out of your mouth.
Honestly, if you heard this conversation going on before you were boarding a flight, you would call the TSA.
And the people
the
that are
is.
Yeah, and I, and
so,
the
so anyway, I think the poodle has the best voice.
Security.
The people that are getting voted off aren't actually good singers. So Tommy Chong got booted last week. Terry Bradshaw wasn't that bad, but, you know.
It was almost an insult to the poodle.
When you are competing against Gladys Knight, who I think is the other one.
Is what? What is she dressed as?
You know what? I can't remember.
A butthole.
A pineapple?
She's a butthole. No, Tommy
She's a
Chong
sweaty
was a
butthole.
Was a pineapple.
Okay.
I think that the sweaty butthole is Gladys Knight. And the pussy fistula is Terry Bradshaw.
But
Case,
that,
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Case, real quick, do they perform in those costumes?
Yes. So here's the thing. They're not actually singing in those masks. They have sung somewhere else in the studio.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
You might as well just have them come out and see if you can guess who they are. Yeah. So they go through this pretense that they're singing, because if they were, it'd be like...
That's what
you'd be hearing. But then they have them talk, obviously. They have pitched up voices backstage. They're not even talking live then. So I was listening, I guess, to the unicorn.
And I think that I should win this because...
And then they're processing the voice like that.
Mm-hmm.
So half the show that really matters was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, though. But again, like, I don't...
It ain't no Duck Dynasty.
Well, Nick Cannon... I can't really stand him as a host, so I try and fast forward through all of that nonsense.
You literally, I know, and I appreciate where you're coming from, but you gave about 90 things that are horrible about the show and one or two that you like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, just the meat and potatoes. Like, all right, so you put a stew on my plate, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it.
Okay.
And I don't like the potatoes. I just
Hang
want
with
the meat.
It.
I'm going
to
try.
I put all the other stuff to the side that I don't like, and I just eat the meat, and I say, that's a damn good stew. You know what I'm saying?
It's like you put a stew on my plate.
Hey, say that out loud, Preston, you big coward. Go ahead. Say it out loud.
I said, well, I can't say the F word.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, what the F did that mean? That's what I was mouthing to Kathy.
It's the
obvious stew comparison.
You know, if the you stew just, comparison.
You know what it's like? It's like runny pudding.
Yeah.
Who puts up stew? Do you eat stew?
I do eat stew.
Okay.
Well, it's
no. Kathy,
stew is his roommate.
It's like linguine, if I may.
That stew, I suck. I don't.
You don't eat.
It's
don't
like eat. Gazpacho.
is what the Masked Singer's like.
Is it? It's stew season, by the way, guys. I don't know if you knew that.
It's
not.
It's chili season.
Mm-hmm. It's both seasons. You know,
it's
a stew week at the stew hut.
It's Baconator season.
It's all right. Toyota thon.
So it's never not Toyota.
It's Lobster Week.
The first few weeks of the year have seen five other unscripted shows launch to solid ratings. The show is based on, by the way, a South Korean format. That's where it came from.
I thought it was Japanese, but they both have goofy shows.
NBC's The Titan Games and America's Got Talent, The Champions, opened with a 1.8 rating, putting them among the top five unscripted debuts of the past 5 years.
1.8 gets you a top?
Yeah.
Among unscripted debuts.
I watched the Titan Games, which is the rock show.
Yeah.
And if you want to feel like you're completely inept and physically unfit, you watch that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I tried to watch that
I'll
one.
Tell you what, that has some of the most, if you're into, Preston, you're into fitness women, yes?
Oh, big time.
Well, watch that show.
Yeah. Okay.
They're all sort of CrossFit type.
Okay. Casey, let's do opening this weekend. Give you an idea of what you can expect at the box office if you are looking for something brand new opening this weekend. A little feature that we do only on Fridays. So I will reveal the information after this musical interlude.
It's me every time.
Have one film to tell you about, and it's one that we've been waiting for a long, long time, and that is the movie Glass.
Yeah.
I remember when Unbreakable came out, and we had had Knight on, it was maybe a year later or so.
Yes.
And he was in the studio back at Y100 when we were in media, and he came by, and I remember saying, could you please make a sequel to Unbreakable? And years later, Split came out. And it was so exciting to find out that was indeed, and you didn't know till the very end. Listen, these are spoilers, but you know what? You should have seen the movie by now. Here's the third movie in a trilogy, Glass, opening this weekend.
And, you know, he went into a depression when Unbreakable came out, he told us, because he felt it wasn't being received the way he had hoped.
Yeah.
It is a great, I will still say, I contend it's still my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Agreed.
It's that good. Split at the end of that, I knew to wait for something, but when I saw it, I nearly died. It was this is unbelievable.
I was in the theater by myself, and I actually kind of made a noise out loud. I was like, yeah. So, and Split is a great movie. So Glass opens today. It's a sci-fi thriller. M. Night Shyamalan directed. Stars Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, Samuel L. Jackson, Sarah Paulson, Anya Taylor-Joy, and others. David Dunn uses his supernatural powers to find Kevin Wendell Crumb, a disturbed man with 24 personalities. It is PG-13, and it is 2 hours and 9 minutes. I will definitely try to get out and see that this weekend.
So reviews are all over the place, but the reviews that I'm paying attention to are the ones that treat it as what it is, the third installment of a trilogy.
Yeah.
And, Night stuff is always challenging and engaging, and this is... Unbreakable set the pattern by saying, what if superheroes existed in this real world? What would they be like?
Exactly.
And, that's what I love about the whole arc.
I read a review that said the reviewer himself didn't love it, but the audience that was in the theater that he was in were loving every second
and
of it.
And CNET actually has a review like that.
Some people don't like that pacing of the Shyamalan style. You've got it. He lets stuff breathe. But this looks like the most kinetic film he's ever made as far as the trailers that I've seen. So, all right, anyhow, that opens this weekend. Let's get to the clips. Here we go. Celebrity Big Brother is back for a second season in which random famous people become housemates and compete to see who will last longest in the house. In this clip, Anthony Scaramucci talks about his strategy for the show. Here we go.
The thing that's worked for me the most successfully throughout my life is just being very upfront and being very direct. And so I think what happens to people in that Big Brother house is that when they start indirectly or they stick a shiv in people, then they start creating soreness in the situation.
Shut the f*** up!
This right. guy.
Jeez.
This
guy. The mooch.
Right. The mooch. He was, director of communications for a week?
For maybe less.
Good Lord.
At the for Trump, and wow. That show, I can't stand that show. Now, if they wore animal masks on that show, I would watch that.
Celebrity Big Brother Season 2 premieres Monday on CBS. Next clip! Netflix animated robot series, Carmen reboot series. It's Carmen Sandiego is not a robot. It's a reboot.
I am looking for Carmen Sandiego.
Gives viewers a look at Carmen's background through her point of view. In this clip, Gina Rodriguez reveals that while exciting, the story is educational as well. Here we go.
Carmen Sandiego is incredible. Netflix is doing a phenomenal job. It is still geared towards children, which is very cool. Still very educational, but very, very fun.
I don't think I want to see it.
Carmen Sandiego is now available for streaming. There you go. That's what I have entertainment wise. I want to, Case, I'm making a call here.
Okay.
It's already 10 after 7. I think we should come back right after commercials and dive back into it with our first guest.
And he's here.
What's that?
I said, I'll think about it.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Because then we have another guest who's going to be a little earlier than we had anticipated. So we have a lot to get to today.
You made a big mistake by upsetting him with the stew comment.
What? Casey? I know.
You should have said you saw the analogy.
Yes. I'm getting the cold shoulder.
The day would have been a lot easier.
We'll take a break and we'll be back with our buddy Frank Caliendo. Stay with us.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard a ringing, a clicking, buzzing, or maybe hissing sensation in your ear? Maybe it was after a concert, or maybe it's something that happens on a regular basis. If so, it could be a sign of tinnitus, which is the sensation of hearing a sound when there is no sound. Now, if this sounds like something you've experienced, you are not alone. According to the Centers for Disease Control, more than 50 million Americans experience some form of tinnitus. I have tinnitus. I've had it for years and years now. It's commonly caused from exposure to loud music, and that's exactly what happened to me. While the condition can be a nuisance, there are treatment options that are available. The Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University offers quality health care to meet your hearing and balance needs, including tinnitus evaluation and management services. Their expert team of audiologists are going to help you hear your best. To learn more, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI, or you can call the Pennsylvania Ear Institute at 215-780-3180.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All righty, friends. Already 17 minutes after 7 o'clock, so we need to move right along as we have a number of guests that are coming by today. And we have funky weather, so that's going to cause for some funky traffic issues. Let's go to Kathy for that info. What's up, Kath?
So what they were predicting as going to be a messy commute, I think the roadways are just wet at this point, but because the schools are delayed, it looks like some of the delays are kind of holding off maybe until the school buses get out on the road. So 95 southbound slows from the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard. The Vine westbound backing up the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. We've got some delays on the Schuylkill eastbound Montgomery to Spring Garden, and then westbound University to South City to Belmont. 422 eastbound slowing Trooper to 23. And then in New Jersey, the 42 freeway northbound backs up from 55 to 295. 55 northbound, that's jammed north of Deptford to 42. This traffic report brought to you by White Castle here with your midday report. Good news is White Castle has 20 White Castle original sliders for just $10 in-app or online. Bad news, it's only for a limited time. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. A little bit later on, we have Rick Allen, drummer of Def Leppard, stopping in this morning. He's in town for a gallery appearance. He's an artist as well as a drummer. So I'm going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that's coming up in a little while. But in the meantime, one of our good friends is here to spend some time in our studio. We'll be performing at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino tonight at 9 o'clock. And the weather's going to be fine tonight, by the way. Please welcome Mr. Frank Caliendo.
Hey, hey, hey.
To the show.
What a great entrance. I walked in and I met old friends from the hallway.
Yeah. Wow.
It was somebody from another station down the hall. Yeah. Was like, wait a second, are you Frank Caliendo? I'm like, yeah. He goes, okay. And then he walked away and didn't let me in. And then I'm just standing there with these other guys, and which we became great friends. No, yeah, yeah. And
sometimes then, you just know.
And then, yeah. And then I was like, you're not going to just let me in? I would have left these guys here in a heartbeat. I have no problem with that. And they're like, we would have done it too. And they're like, you're just stuck here with these two creepy guys? I'm like, you have no idea what my life is like. You're zero on the creepy meter. Creepy meter doesn't even come close to it. They were very nice.
Yeah.
I feel like it's gotten to a point where we should just give you a key fob so you can get in.
I would take it. I have stations where I have that.
You do have the key fob accessibility?
Yeah, I've had that. And entry codes in Arizona.
You know, but now here you have construction going on. So you'd be
I also have a key.
Peril.
I have a key to a crane.
You did? They gave you a key.
How do you think I got in?
Oh my god!
I didn't take a door. I was dropped in.
It's wild when you come up here. So a lot of people don't know they're actually going to add an atrium onto the building that's going to go up four floors. It'll be right outside our window here. So they're actually digging up the whole front of the building. And so we haven't heard it as of yet. But
Nick let me know in advance.
Did you walk over here?
Yeah. No. Okay. What do you think? I think I Ubered from across the street?
I wouldn't put it past you.
How lazy do you know that I am?
Your hotel's literally a block away.
Let's just tell everybody where I'm staying. That's great.
Room 470.
Then you want to see some creepy factor, guys?
What's your unattended rooms number?
So I wanted to tell you guys because I was so excited this weekend. I hadn't been to one of these in a while. It was a comic convention kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. You're a comic book nerd.
I like comic books. I'm getting into them. I'm getting back into them. I liked them when I was a kid. I'm more into the stuff that my daughter's into. Barbies, My Little Pony. No.
You're into that?
It just got creepy again. Yes. Yeah. No problem. I like to comb their hair. My Little Pony.
You know what they call? They call those bronies.
Yeah.
Is there
such a thing? Yes, I'll get into it. I got no problem.
It's a legitimate fetish. They're called bronies.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. So, hey, Jerry, what I was going to do there was going to get real creepy. So this one was called Ace Con, all right? And it, what they
Arizona?
Do, no, it's a national thing. Okay. I think they might do one in Philadelphia too eventually, but it's they go all over and they do major celebrities from the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tom Hiddleston was at this one, who is Loki.
Yeah, we love Hiddleston, yeah.
Oh, he's and he's nicer in person than he is as Loki, first of all. Yeah. But he's so nice, but he comes up, I don't know if they, I can never tell this because he was so smooth and so incredible and so British that he comes over and he knew who I was. And that was one of those moments I'm like, well, this is pretty awesome because my daughter's like, huh?
Well, he's an impressionist as well.
Oh, he was
so
great.
He's got to know your stuff.
Very, very good. Yeah. He comes over and he's talking about, but he has the one-up. Like, he's friends with Jeff Goldblum. So he's talking about Jeff Goldblum. Yes, he's doing this. He's like, he'll come over and he'll be like, how are you? Good. You look great, Tom. You really do. And that's when you meet people, too, it's like that. So we're going back and forth, me and Hiddleston. Tommy, as I like to call him. Tommy and I are going back and forth doing Jeff Goldblum. We're doing some Pacino and stuff like that. It's like, whoa, he does more of the Scarface kind. But so we're doing that, and my daughter's like thinking this is the greatest thing in the world.
Awesome.
And so that wasn't even the end of it. So I want to tell you about this thing too. So they take pictures with people. Like, you can pay; it's expensive.
Like, it can be for a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah,
but you're gonna get a frameable quality photo.
More than that, it was incredible. People were bringing props. People were bringing birthday cakes, fake birthday cakes, and he was doing all of it because it's an expensive thing.
It's like Wizard World here, and
it's very similar. I think it might be from the people who created
it. It probably is. Yeah,
there's something I'd heard that as a rumor. So they're doing that kind of a thing. We keep running into him. Hiddleston walks up behind me at one point, who towers over me. I'm 5'6". He's 6'2". He's like, I heard you do a Tom Hiddleston impression. I'm like, no, I don't, but I do the Beatles. That's what it turns into. So then a guy comes in and he goes, Frank! And we're in the back area because originally I was just going to stalk everybody with my daughter. But try and be nice. You know, you guys know what that's like.
He's looking at his stalkers here in the studio.
No, you do that thing where you respect everybody's space and stuff like that. You do. So we didn't ask for any extra pictures or anything like that outside the times we were supposed to. And this guy comes and he goes, Frank! And it's Todd McFarlane.
Oh, wow.
Spawn. Yeah.
And baseball collector extraordinaire.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And he sits down. And he starts talking, who's this? This is Juliet. Hey, Juliet. And he starts talking to my daughter. He starts saying, so I actually have this on video. I'll show it to you. I never asked him if I could share it with anybody to play. But he says, I created a character called, you ever hear of him, Venom? So I was drawing, and he tells the whole story of how he created Venom, which is basically they wanted him to, and I've never heard this story before, they wanted him to draw the black costume Spider-Man. That was where it was at that point. He's like, I don't want to draw Spider-Man. I can kind of do his voice. Like, I don't want to draw Spider-Man. I don't want to draw him in a black costume. Red and blue, right?
Right.
And my daughter's like, yes, it's red and blue. And he's like, so he starts drawing it there, and he starts going to. He's like, so the reason Venom's created because I was stubborn. I didn't want to do what they wanted me to do. I was like,
that was the genesis of the character.
Yeah, that's what it says. He's like, we'll make a villain. He'll be the black character, and then the red and blue will be Spider-Man. Still, we'll all be happy, and that's how it turned out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's surreal.
It's wild because I just saw the Venom movie, which I thought was good. It was stellar.
Yeah.
But that character, in a way, has Spawn-esque elements to it.
Yeah. The
so how deep do you so you're just getting back into it? When you were in it in your first go round,
when I was really young,
because that was like Preston and myself were the same way. So comic books, and we'd have our comic books set aside at the comic book store, that whole deal, and then you move away from it. But now it's like the hate. It's the golden age right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's the new kind of nerd chic.
But nerd. They in fact, Frank, this stat came out last week. For 2018, half of all the revenue that Disney has the Star Wars franchise and Pixar and Marvel. Half of that entire company's revenue came from Marvel projects.
It's all coming it's all stemming from the comic book stuff, and that's why my daughter wants to get into it. She likes the comics. We do a lot of these things called graphic novels.
Yes.
which are redone versions and incredibly well drawn.
It's when you're a comic book fan, you want to seem like you're reading books.
Yeah. Well, that she reads it during reading time. And if a teacher ever complained to me, I'd be like, the vocabulary in these things is way... You can see I didn't read enough of them because
you don't know a good word for it.
Yeah, they're super gooder, dude. Super gooder, rock, man, friend, child. So I'm just, she's into reading more because of that.
Yeah, my daughter was the same way. Once she started reading graphic novels, she really started gravitating towards reading more.
Yeah, and she wants to know all the stuff. All she does is theories.
Yeah.
So she's just creating all these theories every day for what's going to happen in Captain Marvel.
Dude, that you have a daughter like that is awesome because, you know, you don't want to, I assume as a parent, I don't have kids, but you don't want to go too hard on pushing something. But the fact that she took to it herself is great.
Yeah, because then she might be a CEO or marry one, right?
Right.
If she's creating theories, then she may want to try writing characters herself
absolutely.
And so on. So that's awesome.
We started, and this is kind of just in the development phase, and I started really for her, and she's going to be on it, is this comic podcast. And I'm finding that it's called Comic Playground. It's okay right now. It's evolving because I went to a comic book store and met all these people. You guys need to be a squad on a podcast.
Right.
So I got them on mic the first time and they're like, I'm like, okay, you guys want to draw something? What's that? What are we going to do? But so we started doing that and I'm going to hit her against this guy who looks like the Kingpin, basically.
Yeah.
With hair.
Daredevil.
But he's a giant guy, and they're going to go back and forth with MCU theories, and we're probably going to grade them like they're on like Olympic grading and stuff.
If you want to get a good crash course in how to do all that stuff, Kevin Smith's shows are his stuff. I mean, and we actually have the two guys here who do Comic Book Gurus.
Oh, okay.
They have contributed to the show over the years. The trick is making it stand out. If you have a little girl who's arguing MC,
the other thing is if you've got a guy who can read as Tony Stark, that helps. Okay, do me a favor. Or read Spider-Man as Liam Neeson. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want, but I've been bitten by a radioactive spider.
Yeah.
And life is about to change. So there's some of that. But, yeah, it's just...
you enjoying it?
I'm having fun.
I'm just,
like I was telling you guys, I was trying to, and I'm still trying to branch out. I've been so known for the sports stuff over the years.
And you said you were sort of, you love it. You love it that it got you to the dance, but you also feel a little bit strangled by it.
Yeah, and the impressions too. But to work them in and have it be a part of it and try and get more to the character-y stuff, that's all given me the opportunity.
How's it going for you?
Really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I developed a bunch of new things, just working on some of that stuff, even just talking about life in general. I'm much better up there on stage talking as myself in between the characters, especially from the podcasting kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm hosting this. I'm also doing another one. I've just started to compartmentalize my life and then put them into podcasts. But like most of the conversations some of the conversations we have here a lot of the time off the air are like not political, but they're like what's going on in the world kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I started doing another one with Al Jackson. You guys know who Al is?
No.
Comic. He went viral for some of the stuff for the National Anthem thing a couple of years ago and had this really interesting take about veterans and all that stuff. So we created that. Al and Frank Try to Be Serious. And so it's us talking about serious topics.
How long do you last before?
It always evolves into something silly.
Yeah.
But it's not a side.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
the whole thing. It's about understanding what maybe an other side is thinking or something.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah, so we just had on the head of the, because I met him in Indiana, the head of the Libertarian Party out there.
Yeah.
And we just talk and everybody's on like different quote-unquote teams or whatever it is.
Right.
And everybody just kind of talks, and in the end, everybody's like, oh, that was good. I never thought of that way. I didn't think of that way.
Everyone's firmly entrenched. And you know what they do, though? Now more than ever, you can not face the person face-to-face and just say, hey, this guy, you know, and have a conversation where you can sort of, you know, find common ground. I think it helps to be, you know, to be face-to-face with someone.
It's a lot of fun. And people are actually... Right now, that one's developed more, and we know where it's coming from.
It's so tough, though, because like last, you know, we went to a podcast convention here, and you know, they asked us to go speak at it. Our podcast does very well, but there's like, you know, there's more than 500,000 separate shows.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
It's just
You have to find something that's, like, you guys have your audience that's there, and it can be for different times. When you try to do another kind of podcast, I think you have to find a you have to find a topic and then be different, like you said, and entertaining within that topic. If, how many comedian podcasts are there?
Oh, man.
But here's how it works. So, Comedian A has Comedian B on his podcast. Comedian B has Comedian A on his podcast. Comedian A and B go do Comedian C's podcast. And it's this big...
Right. And it develops, but it's also one of those types of things. Human centipede, maybe? It's one of those...
Well, it's not a closed circle, though.
It might be. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
So it's one of those types of things where... Hey, I'm getting late to the party. There were many times where people were trying to get me to do that and go with the podcast. You know, whatever is
the incestuous podcast.
But the big ones that the promoters, but the distributor kind of thing. I'm like, I'm going to do this totally grassroots right now. Develop it, figure it out. If people catch on to it, that's great. If they don't, then we eventually don't do it. But I don't want to be filtered by anybody or anything.
Right.
It's not like it's dirty or anything. It's just like, we're just going to do what we're going to do.
It's not dirty. It's filthy.
Yeah, horrific.
Not set for terrestrial radio. Let me ask you. Years ago, we talked about
that character is, but I'm starting to like him.
I like the face.
Yeah.
The face is good. Wow.
It's kind of the end of Arnold on Different Strokes. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. That's it.
So
he ends there. I begin there. What, Steve?
Could you calculate monetarily... Because we talked about this a while ago, the election, and we were saying which way it could break. I didn't know if you did a Hillary Clinton impression or...
Right.
I mean, revenue-wise, how much did that break mean to you, or does it mean to you? Or do you get called to do...
I was just called to do a couple things, and they were too mean.
Okay.
I was like, I can't do it.
Right.
It's just going to be too many...
Did you watch The Family Guy this past weekend, or the weekend before, with Peter goes to the White House and works in the Trump administration?
No.
It was a funny episode, but as you can imagine, it skewered Trump a lot. I thought that it was you. I had to watch
credits
because it sounded like your impression of Trump, which is a relatively easy impression, I think,
to do. Yeah,
I don't think
it's very hard.
I think that it can, and because of how easy it is, people think that just doing the impression is funny. When that's not the case.
It's not. Right. You've always done this.
And mine is tremendous. It really is. There's a lot of people that are talking about my impression. Here's the thing. You guys do a great job. This is probably the number one show I'll be on right now. And let me say this. The ratings going through the roof, not even just the roof, through the stratosphere, and Space Force will probably find them. Yes. But we'll talk about this for a second. What were we talking about? Doesn't matter. It just got better.
Stuff is silly. Stuff is silly that people... Yeah. Who are like on one side or the other, they go, oh, that was great. I had that happen years and years ago in Texas. I was doing George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And they're like, you do the people out of the same show. People go, you must really love him. Oh, that was great how you did that. And other people walk out and go, you hate him, don't you? And I was like, you decide. That's like, what you want. If you're listening to me for politics.
Yeah.
In this venue, you're in the wrong.
But it, right, yeah. If you're able to nail it both ways like that, then you hit.
That's
it.
How I want to do it. Yeah, and for me, like, there's enough out there for the people that are pro this or anti this. That what am I going to do? Add to one of those sides?
That's our philosophy.
And I don't even believe that I would go. There are things I think that happen that are okay, that are good, and that are bad and awful, and it all happens, and it's whatever. I feel like eventually it's going to work itself out one way or another. But if people just scream and yell from the rooftops, it just makes other people mad.
Yes.
And that's where I come from. And then
besides that, Preston and I are big fans of dystopian future movies. So those are cool. Well, however it breaks, whether we're fighting vampires or zombies.
Whatever
maybe we're a mailman, Preston, like in the postman.
Yeah. Listen, my friend Rick and I met up with a lot of people. You just stab them in the brain. That's what you do. You don't grab them by the you-know-what. You stab them in the brain. When you hear that sound, it's tremendous. It gets really, really great.
So that's the kind of thing like we do on Alan Frank as
cool.
well.
Yeah.
And it's just that talking and keeping out of that, getting mad at somebody for what they think. Because I think everybody's personal experiences in their life brings you to a certain point to why you make a decision one way or another.
Sure. So your performance, like go ahead, Darcy.
I'm curious about that very thing. I see some people who really crow about certain things. I'm like, wow, what happened to you? Something happened to you. I don't know what it is to make you that sharp, have that sharp of an opinion on something. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I also believe this. And this is, tell me if this is too, like, political or something, but I also believe that we've gotten to where we watch the election. It's starting now, right?
Yeah.
It's starting now. People are going for the next 2 years be bombarded by things for who they're going to. You join a team,
yeah,
right? And then you go out and some people campaign and they see it all over the place. And then you kind of want your person to win. And then if they don't, it's like when your team loses the Super Bowl. You're like, oh, cheaters, this and that. And everybody starts to get into that. And it's like, you can't have that.
It becomes at a certain point, it all starts to collapse in on itself if you don't respect.
Right. And I just look at some of the stuff and I watch with Donald Trump with the burgers the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he just does stuff that's so ridiculous that you can't tell. He's like, okay, I'm going to have a salad with this Russian dressing. And you don't, and it's like, he's just trolling.
He's tweaking, yeah.
And you're just kind of at the same time going, wow, wait a second. And people will be like, well, he got that directly from the Russian government. And the vein is popping out of their head. And they're like, don't you see? How could he get that? There's no other way on earth he could have gone. And then there's other people going.
It's funny because it gets used for all political angles, but there's a great shot of Ray Liotta from Goodfellas where he's laughing at Pesci, and it's always, you know, they'll take whatever situation. You know, he misspelled hamburger, or he purposely said he's using Russian dressing, and it goes back and forth both ways. But the shot of Liotta is so hilarious, it works all the time.
And by the way, that guy playing Ray Liotta in the, what is it, Chantix commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He looks almost exactly like him.
He
looks a lot like him. So who's doing that?
Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh. This is best role in years.
Great. There's a dude who posted it online. I don't know if you saw it. I should have sent it out to you guys. But he used that he took a Ray Liotta picture. And it's the one where you do the face switch. You know, the app where you can do the face switch.
Yeah.
And so he does his own Chantix commercial. With that Ray Liotta face. We had somebody who worked with him on his last show. And what's up with Ray Liotta's face?
I don't know. I could never do. Obviously, he's had some work done.
It looks like he's wearing eyeliner.
Well, I mean, it's just the Botox. That's what it is.
It's Botox, and his nose is wider.
Are you seeing it, Preston?
And
no, but I'm sorry to interrupt, but Nick found a parody of the commercial, and I'm watching the video right now, and it's doing his testimonials. And in between, you know, I was on edge when I would, and it shows him bashing somebody in the face with a gun, you know, cutting the clips like that.
How
the
great. To think about Ray Liotta in movies is incredible.
Awesome. If all he ever did was Goodfellas,
yeah,
that'd be enough.
Right.
That'd be enough.
Yeah. Now he's just a good fella.
No, but you're right.
a good fella.
And I've seen the look on his face. I'm like, wow. If I'm going to look like that, I think I'd keep, you know.
And so many people in Hollywood do that. But you just start to go, don't people notice and tell you? It was like with Burt Reynolds or Kenny Rogers.
But they don't, because they're all surrounded by people that look that way.
Right.
Well, they just keep going. That's the problem. They get it done, and then there's like one other wrinkle that they missed. So they go back in, and hey, well, since I'm going back in, pull the whole face back. And that's what happens. Yeah.
Do you ever watch the, I think it's called Botched. It's,
I've heard about it.
All right, so this
I can't
is,
watch that stuff because I'll watch it and be like, oh, what's wrong with us as humans?
I thought I couldn't. But it's what I watch instead of watching people with masks on sing. So I watch Bob.
Wait a second. Okay, go in and then I got to ask you a question.
But they will get these people who are, and they're not necessarily celebrities. A lot of them turn out to be like real estate or real estate agents or people with a presentation or even like pharmaceutical reps or people who've, you know, think they're tweaking their visual impression.
I don't get it.
And they get the amount of surgeries that go wrong is wild. And but they become body dysmorphic. They just don't realize how far they've gone.
Yeah, I don't know. And like you said, I don't think there's anybody telling them that's like when I got to be so heavy.
Yeah,
when I was that fat, I remember such great times where I was sitting next to Tom Cruise on The Tonight Show, and it looks like I'm going to eat him. I looked like Grimace. If I had been purple, I would have been Grimace, not Thanos. You know what I mean? And nobody told me that I was that, like, I'm going to die of a heart attack soon. So, and I just decided on my own that I was going to do it. I took a look at myself. I was like, I've got to get down at least.
Yeah.
And I got thinner than this and then came up a little bit. I'm going to try and get thinner again. I want to be like 7 pounds. But
7 is your goal?
Seven. All right. Seven. But it's that looking at that and looking back and going, nobody told me either on that. So I was like, okay. But the masks thing.
Yes. Right,
so I haven't watched the
masks.
Oh, that's heavy. Look at that. Look at me and Tommy.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's, absolutely.
I couldn't even tuck my shirt in.
Wow.
And Lena's going, hey, you don't eat them. That's a... Merry Christmas.
What are you?
It's cherubic.
Before we get to the Masked Singer, what are you telling Tom Cruise right there in that photo?
Hey, you you want to be my sidekick? So the mask, I don't get it. I understand the premise of the show.
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier. Casey explained that it's basically like stew.
Mm-hmm. He says it's stew.
Yeah, yes. It's like beef stew.
Don't worry. We were confused, too.
Okay, because there's no way. Have you ever sung in a mask? Have you ever talked in a mask? Did you bring that up?
You're trying to do that?
There was a movie with a Batman.
Yes.
That they used the mask and let him talk inside of it.
Bane.
And Bane was, you couldn't, Tom Hardy, you couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
The whole movie was, we're going to be No way are they singing through that.
He always
no, tribute.
It's all... Batman music. Yeah.
Listen, and Mr. Wayne, we're going to have to take care of this.
That's right.
Don't try and talk, Casey. I've got everybody in the world on this screen. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking it would be funny to think that if they were actually lip syncing as well, because... You can't see their lips either.
That means they're just marionettes. Yeah. That's
and
all
that's,
it is.
To me, is what's so goddamn stupid. Just bring them out, play their pre-recorded bits. You can even just have like a VU meter going, you know, to show what it is, because it's all pre-recorded anyway. Have them come out, pirouette in the costume, and see if you can guess who they are. Because otherwise, it's the
Masked Dancer is what the show is.
And it's the number one show on TV right now.
That's insane.
I don't hate it.
You watch it for the costumes?
Well, you,
I like
that's what people keep
stuff.
Saying. I love the costumes.
Go to Mardi Gras.
Well, you know who was just revealed in the last one, right?
No, I don't know anything.
It was Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I tell you what. You know, I wasn't dancing. I just had my shingles going again.
I remember those shingles commercials. You're friends with, you know, Ken Jeong?
Yeah.
So he's one of the hosts.
Yeah, I seen it. He's like, oh, snap. Like, he's great. But the judges there, I think, are probably more fun to watch at times. I don't get it. I don't understand. There's no way. And I saw there's little grates they can supposedly sing through, but still there's an echo from your mouth.
There's no way.
It's recorded. Yeah. It has to be.
Which just makes me laugh that people would get into that, that's just recorded stuff with people in costumes. None of it's actually happening at the time.
I'm watching and like Robin Thicke and, you know, he goes, you know, your movement suggests like you're probably a gymnast. I'm thinking maybe Mary Lou Retton. The way your hands, it's like you've done some sort of mat work or something. And they're talking to some idiot there in a unicorn costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, I see the way you're dancing. I think are you me?
It's Robin Thicke.
Yeah. Did I split myself in two? Did I figure that out? Yeah, I don't know. I don't get, I mean, I guess people love surprises and celebrities. Like,
you should just do What's in the Box. Yeah, make like from the
Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. And just bring out boxes. Yeah. What do you think's in this?
Yeah.
And then just open it up.
Who do you think's in this box?
Well, you look like it's a smaller box.
Oh, I like
so
that.
So you could contort a little bit. I'm going to believe Soleil Moonfry. You know, she's bigger now. Okay, no, that's not who we're going with. It might be, let's see here. Who could you be? There's a little, do you notice I smelled something interesting coming from the box? I don't want to say what I'm thinking.
By the way, we're going to do Who's in the Box. I just wrote that down.
Okay. Okay. Who's in the Box?
We have to do Who's in the Box.
I'll be the first one in the box. I don't care. I just want the publicity from being in the box. I don't care if people already know it. People will watch. It
and watch. It takes off, and we totally sell out and go, yeah, this is a great idea.
Will he?
I'm sorry. Yeah, and suddenly like, and that Masked Singer shows, that's really good, too.
That's really good, too. That's like when I do an impression, and I've done it for like 10 years, and then somebody else does the same impression on... Like, you can tell when somebody's... This doesn't always happen. There's parallel development and stuff like that.
Yes.
But somebody will have seen me do an impression.
I've done that. And I've told you.
Yes. I think it's different on, like, radio and stuff like that. And when you interact with the people. But when you claim that this is your own impression...
No.
But... And then people will see me after this impression's been really big and be like, oh, you're copying... No. Like, somebody did that with Morgan Freeman a couple weeks ago. Some Morgan Freeman came out and they go, oh, you're just copying Al, who did this Morgan Freeman thing. And I'm like, No, I'm not. That's what I, you know. And there's people who are doing it before me, too. And it's just like you try and find your take on it. But I've had like years and years ago when I did George W. Bush at Mad TV, there were people at Saturday Night Live said, watch Frank Caliendo do George W. Bush.
Happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I try not to do that because I don't do it because I'm the guy or was the guy at a point where that was like, kind of trying to create these.
Yeah.
And friends and I would bounce them off each other. But once I put them, I wouldn't do them like, and I wouldn't watch a Saturday Night Live sketch and go, okay, I'm going to do this, I don't know, Tom Hardy impression.
Right.
I saw this person do it and I figured it. Kevin Pollak talks about it. You unlock the impression for somebody.
Yeah.
If you figure out what that cadence is.
Or what that one vocal angle is.
Everybody gets it.
Yeah.
It's funny thinking back on that too, because Will Ferrell's George W. Bush was funny, but it was mostly funny because it was Will Ferrell.
Right.
You know, and your George W. Bush is funny because you nail it so well and then you make it silly. So when I watch you do it and you get the facial expressions and all of it, like I'm not saying this because you're sitting here, but I preferred yours to his because I found it to be more representative of the president.
Right. And people like different things.
Right.
And his was more that frat boy kind of deal. And my George W. Bush was a child.
Yeah.
And then what happened was, too, that people came to me, were like, oh, are you Little Bush? I'm like, no, I have nothing to do with that cartoon. But that's basically act has been.
And there was, listen, one of the most famous presidential impressions of all time was Chevy Chase doing Ford.
There's no voice.
There was no voice, no attempt to repeat physical affectation. It was nothing. And yet it was
popular. When you're on that show, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's been pretty cool. I've gotten a lot of chances to meet people because of that stuff. So
yeah.
Whatever. I used to get upset, but now you can just put your stuff out there on the internet immediately if it takes off. When I first started at Mad TV, they had to give you tapes. Videotapes and stuff like that. You had a research department because there was no YouTube.
Yeah. Now you can just look them up and study them to your heart's content. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Frank is going to be, by the way, at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino, tonight at 9, and two podcasts now, which is really cool, which is Comic Playground and Alan Frank Try to Be Serious.
Soon to be Who's in the Box.
That's right.
By the way, I'm going to be back here in Philadelphia area in another month.
Oh, really?
Oh. Parks Casino.
Oh, yeah.
And then Atlantic City Ocean's Casino. So those I'm going to be at a month from now.
We'll reserve your room at the Hilton.
There you go.
We'll give you your key fob, your crane fob.
Are they weekend shows? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are the full shows. Like last time coming through, I was doing lots of new stuff. Some of that stuff that I developed in there is in these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And all the information for like Parks, and Oceans, and Rec, I don't know, and Dover Downs, frankonstage.com brings you there for for that.
You want to come back and say hi?
I'd love to. I never know. I was, you know, you try not to be somewhere too often, but we just sit and talk. So
sailed.
Yeah. We'll wore my welcome out pretty early.
No, it's
we'll move you at a later part of the show. Kind of, you know, because audiences are in and out at different times.
And the key fob I might have by then.
We'll activate it after 9. Yeah, so you can get in here.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll have you on Saturday at 11.
I hear that's really doing well.
And then public affairs Sunday morning.
You know what? It might fit with Alan Frank.
The political, yeah.
It's not political. It's non-political. It's like political topics non-politically talked about.
Yeah, right.
I like that.
That's kind of what it is.
DoverDowns.com to get your tickets for Frank Caliendo. Thank you for coming by here, Frank.
Appreciate it, guys.
Wonderful to see you. Frank, let's hear it. Some love. We'll be back in just a moment. We have Rick Allen of Def Leppard going to be nominated, or actually is going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and an art show in our area. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill.
Alexa, enable MMR.
Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR.
Alexa, open MMR.
MMR rocks. Def Leppard, Rock of Ages. I'll explain why we played that song in particular in just a moment, as we're going to welcome a guest into our studio, into our airwaves. Before we do that, we got money to give away, and I want to do it now, so let's get to that.
93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Go fund yourself.
No, it's not a scam. We want to give you a grand. We want to fund you.
All right, so there's a word you need to know in order to win $1,000 right now. And this hour's keyword in the MMR Go Fund Yourself Nationwide contest is BEGIN. B-E-G-I-N. You have until 8:15 to enter that via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. And we're going to call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. And everybody who enters is qualified for the $10,000 grand prize drawing. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Again, it's BEGIN, B-E-G-I-N. Good luck from Armor Metals and Recycling and WMMR. Let's get a look at traffic, and then we're going to welcome our guests to the studio. Kathy, what's going on?
Well, I don't want to jinx us, but it's really not that bad.
Okay.
Schuylkill Expressway westbound is jammed from City to Gladwin. There's a disabled vehicle that's just been cleared. Vine Expressway westbound at the Schuylkill, an accident in the center lane. Other than that, it's just your normal delay. South on 95 jams from Bridge through to Girard. The Blue Route in both directions, you'll see delays from Media to Route 1, and then elsewhere on the Schuylkill eastbound slowing Montgomery into Spring Garden, westbound University to south. 422 eastbound slows Oaks to 23. We had a Tacony Palmyra Bridge opening. Actually, it is opened now, so traffic stopped in both directions. 42 freeway northbound slows 41 to 295. 55 northbound backing up from Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by PCOM. Discover an education in whole person healthcare at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. See how they're more than just an exceptional medical school at PCOM.edu. And that's your traffic on 93.3. WMMR.
Thank you, Kathy. Our next guest is going to be appearing live in gallery appearances at Wentworth Gallery at the Hard Rock Hotel today from 5 to 8 p.m. and then Sunday in King of Prussia from 1 to 4. And he will be displaying his art, and we're excited to have him here because very, very soon he will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've waited a long time to meet this gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, from Def Leppard, Mr. Rick Allen.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He's here this morning.
Very nice introduction.
Thank you, sir. I have been waiting to meet you for a long time, a couple of reasons, and I'll stop fanboying all over you. But number one, I'm a drummer, have been since I was a kid.
I knew that.
And number two, you knew that?
Yeah.
You could tell you got the vibe.
Yeah.
Number two, I believe the Pyromania Tour was the second rock concert I ever saw. So you go way back to my very beginning days of experiencing live rock music, and I vividly recall that show.
Now you're scarred for life.
Nah, I'll forever remember it. It was in St. Louis. It was the Pyromania Tour, and man, I was just blown away by the performance. It was excellent, and it just ushered me into wanting to go to more concerts and experience that whole live thing.
I play better now.
You do play better now?
I think so.
And I've seen you in the years since. I'd seen you know, Def Leppard after your accident and losing a limb, which for a drummer, that's a little bit of an issue. But
it
also
at least ruins your day, right?
It was a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
But I remember being intrigued, hearing that you were coming back, and I understood using trigger pedals how that could be done. Essentially, your left foot becomes your snare drum, and I was, you know why I was bummed out, other than the significant pain and issues you went through of losing your left arm, was that you were one of the few rock guys that used a traditional grip.
That's true. Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. But, I mean, it was like you and Stuart Copeland and Carl Palmer, and that was pretty much it, you know?
No, it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you started young playing the drums, and then was it your mother who helped you place an ad or respond to an ad from Def Leppard at that time? You were 14, 15?
No, I was playing with the local bands from about the age of 10.
10?
And then at the ripe old age of 14, I was going to quit the business. And
you'd had enough.
I'd had enough. I was, you know. And I remember coming home one day and saying, "Mom, you know, I don't want to do this anymore." And she found this article in the newspaper, in the local newspaper, and it said, "Leopard loses skins." And we called. And a couple of days later, I met with Joe and Steve at a local club. And I went for an audition and got the gig. It was really
14.
Funny. Yeah, at 14. And then I joined Def Leppard round about my 15th birthday.
Oh, my God.
What was that like? And I'm sure you guys were playing bars, clubs, and things like that at that time. Now in the UK, is that much of an issue, having a 15-year-old in a bar and a band? Because here they'd have a problem with it.
It wasn't so much of a problem, okay. But I had to sort of stay out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
Get other people to buy beer for me.
There you go. I was 18. Yes, I was playing clubs when I was 18, and it was awesome.
Oh, it was great. It was really funny when we had to share a dressing room with the stripper on a Sunday.
Oh my God! How old were the other guys when you were 15? What were they?
They're probably 8 to 10 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah.
So you were really good. I mean, the fact that you could, you know, hold your own with, you know, there's a growth spurt that's taking place, and you're still at the beginning of that, and you're competent enough to land this gig, and then you're off and running. But, you know, Preston's always talked about your technique, and yeah, obviously you've talked about the accident and everything, but one of the best Behind the Musics, which used to be a great series on VH1, you know, I was a Def Leppard fan before, but it appeared to me that the band's commitment to you and vice versa was that, to me, is such, that's the story to tell, is that you don't leave your friends, you know, you stick with it, and the fact that they did, and you've produced, you know, 10 times what anyone could hope, is the story. It still has to amaze you now as you look back at how it could have gone.
That's really nice of you to say. It was really family support from the guys in the band, and just people reaching out from all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, I got letters from so many places, like encouragement. And really, I discovered the power of the human spirit. And once you know, I got that, there was no stopping me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I just wanted to succeed.
I want to ask about your art. You know, from time to time, you'll see musicians who later on in life start to embrace that part of their creative side that maybe has always been there, but then they finally find themselves with either more time or more resources or more of an audience to share that with. How long has your artistic side outside of music been in your life?
Really from when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then really I discovered music and didn't really, I was into photography, but didn't do much painting until I started painting with my youngest daughter and just saw where she went when she painted. And it was sort of without rules.
The sort of zen that you get when you're...
Yes.
Painting, exactly. Yeah.
That sort of open-eyed meditation where you just disappear into a zone. And
it appeals to a lot of people. And you know, I like to sketch. You know, you're right. It's just you kind of channeling stuff out. But your art has some unique aspects to it that involves some technology as well, correct?
It depends what kind of technology. No, I mean, I try everything. I learn new techniques. The ones that I'm really proud of are the Legends series.
Right.
I started out with Steve Clark. I figure that was a great subject because he really inspired me and he was my best friend. And... and then I moved on to doing John Lennon and then Hendrix.
Right.
And my latest one, the David Bowie, is really cool. So,
do you have anybody teaching you along the way? I mean, do you have like a mentor?
I have mentors. Okay. I have mentors, people that help me discover new ways to paint.
But also to understand things like shadows and how they work. And
that's exactly
okay.
That's exactly what I do. Normally, I'll dumb down a photograph that I really like, and then I'll sketch the geometric shapes to create the highlights.
Because I'm looking at your work and it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this painting of John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is really good. And this one that we have in the studio here, up in the main thing, the American flag with the heart in the middle, with the handprint, is just beautiful.
Whose handprint is that?
It's mine, actually.
Wow.
Is
it?
Yeah. It is. It is.
But like, and I couldn't help but think, like, there's no way anybody could do this without having a teacher along the way, a mentor along the way. Like, nobody has that that perfect understanding of especially when it comes to paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I love using acrylics. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I use acrylics is because if I get it wrong, I can paint over it.
It's very forgiving. It's very forgiving.
It is. It is.
Yeah. So for me, sketching is easy. I can just erase or, it's a pencil, so on and so forth. When you're committing, to me, it seems like you're doing something, a large piece of work, and what gives you zen can also be ultimately frustrating, I assume, at the same point where it's not coming out the way you want it.
No, that's true. What I tend to do is take a lot of photographs of, especially if it's a big piece.
Yeah.
So I can change the perspective and then kind of see what I'm missing. What is it I'm missing?
Right.
And then living with it for a few days before I go back to it.
My girlfriend's an artist, and I am not, and so I appreciate her ability to do what she does. What she often struggles with, and I'm curious as to what you may or may not struggle with, but knowing when her piece is finished, because you can look at it and you're in it, and you're so it's become such a part of your life for a stretch, to know when to walk away. I think that analogy also applies to music. When you look at a song that's being produced and you don't want to overproduce it, do you feel that that's the same with one of your pieces of art?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that way. In music, you say, well, it's overcooked.
Overproduced.
It sounds too slick or mm-hmm. whatever. The good thing about the technique, especially doing faces, is it's not realism. So all you have to do is just follow the geometric shapes. And as long as I get that right, then there is an end point,
Do you know when you've reached that end point?
Yeah, I you could always go on, but then, how much time do I really have? Unfortunately, I have a day job.
Which draws some of your energy.
It does. Yes. It gets in the way of everything.
Yeah. It's amazing. I think there's always a kernel. For example, you were born with an ability to see things artistic. Like people say, can you learn to be a stand-up comedian? Or You can, but to be a good one or to be good at anything, there has to be, I think, a little bit of the kernel of it in you.
Yeah, I think so.
And so what would have made you probably, a solid photographer or anything, or a musician, it's that same commitment to that goes through it all.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Any plans to visit photography again? Or?
I'm taking photographs all the time.
Okay.
When I'm out on the road with the band or... if I can't paint when I'm on the road, at least I'm trying to plan out what I'm going to be doing when I get home.
Okay.
So I can get busy, with the artwork. So
I wanted to ask about your time with the band and how funny is it seeing now ripped jeans coming back as a fashion statement when Joe Elliott perfected the art of it. Back in the days of Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Does that mean officially old when these styles start to come back around that you helped create?
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. No, it is cool.
Funny story. I went on stage one night and the guys, they're always like making fun of me, whatever. But I get them back.
Yeah.
So I got off stage and my jeans are hanging up. And they cut one leg.
Come on.
Jeans. You must have the largest collection of one arm.
What were you going to say then?
The largest genitals. No, the largest. you've heard every one arm, one hand, every sort of joke you could get, right? I'm sure,
There's one or two.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, I forgot what. How long after your accident was it okay for the guys to start? Because listen, part of being in a band, part of being in a group, any small group like ourselves, yeah. like the show, is having fun with each other and being able to joke and give each other a hard time. How soon after that accident were they starting to have fun?
Pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
It was wishful thinking, but jokes like one arm and three legs, and
right. That's a brotherhood thing. So it is.
Well, we have actually. There's a friend of the show who's a model, and she's has done runway work in Manhattan, and she has. I don't know, Nick. Is it a full arm or is it a partial?
I don't
arm?
Know who you're talking
Becca?
About.
Yeah, it's I think it's her whole arm.
And so she does have an apparatus that is now. With a phone app and stuff.
It's like a robotic arm.
Has that
has any of that been brought to you? Does any of that interest you?
I tried a prosthetic arm, but I lost so much of my
shoulder,
of my arm.
Yeah.
And when it got infected, they had to make sure that all the infection was gone.
Okay.
So, you know, there's not that much there anymore.
All right.
But I'm really streamlined.
Yeah, you're streamlined.
You are streamlined.
Yeah, there you go.
I do remember shortly after, and you made your return to the stage, that I remember seeing pictures because I used to get the rock magazines and all that stuff. And there would be people, there were amputees that would just line up, just could not wait to meet you. And you kind of became, I mean, hero might be too strong of a word, or a spokesperson for people who have had that similar situations like that. Were you a little overwhelmed by that at first, or
no? I could identify with people, and I think it was really cool because people felt like they knew me and they could trust me.
Yeah, you had a commonality.
Yeah, and I took that a stage further. I do a lot of work with our wounded warriors, and actually a portion of the proceeds from the artwork always goes to,
is this
to
the,
our warriors.
The Raven Foundation?
Yeah, Raven Drum Foundation.
Right, right. And then you also have the One Hand Drum Company. What is that, unless I'm misreading?
One Hand Drum Company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was listed in your credits. I'm like, no explanation. I'm like, what is that?
No, it's actually the Raven Drum Foundation.
And, so it's part of the same thing.
And then under the umbrella is sort of Project Resiliency.
Okay.
And that was my way of really focusing on what I thought was a huge problem, our warriors coming back with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, you name it. So that was a way for me to really focus on them.
That's excellent. And so portions of the sales, these sales will go to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk a little bit about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You guys won the popular vote. You won the people's vote, which I think is very apropos. People of your bands, of your genre, on the kind of, rock, metal, whatever you want to place it in, I think have a significant place in the world of rock music. And it seemed like Rolling Stone and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of glances over that type of music. They put it out to the people who listen, who buy, who go to concerts, so forth, and they said, no, these guys deserve to be in. What do you think about all of that?
I agree with you. I think we may have been left out a little bit. But I think the thing that made all of us really happy, the whole of Def Leppard, was the fact that they introduced the fan vote. And we got so many votes.
Yeah.
And that to us was the most important thing. It wasn't necessarily, a bunch of guys sitting around at a boardroom table deciding
yes.
who's in, who's out. It was really about the fan vote. We thought that was really important.
I mean, it sort of parallels your career in general, in the fact that, like, you're appealing to a certain people, and those are your fans. And then on the other side, you have these critics who... You're not doing it for them, If you like it, you like it, and if you don't, you don't. And if you don't like it, I'm not making this for you. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. I mean, define critic. Mm-hmm. It's like if there are fans out there of any music, it doesn't matter, what anybody's perception of that music is. If there are fans out there, then there are people that like the music.
Yeah.
How important? So, yeah, as the legend goes, the producer Mutt Lang was. Key and critical to you. Is that been overblown or was?
No, not overblown at all.
Yeah.
He really inspired me. Just an amazing musician, incredible, songwriter, arranger.
How much does a producer like that, I mean that can be the flashpoint, correct, of everything?
Yeah, I think he was really pivotal. I think he really developed our sound. To the point where, I think it's why we're here today.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. The movie Hysteria, which is a docudrama, I guess. What did you think of that? Did you like it?
The script, we actually went over the script before it actually got filmed, and we all approved it. I think the only thing that may have been a little different were some of the characters.
Okay.
Like, Mutt wasn't that, sort of... kind of character that was
depicted in the movie. It was, for people who don't know, it was actually they enacted basically the
Def Leppard story and focused a bit on the accident and everything. And but I was just wondering. So you say they a lot of times they have to condense and take character traits of multiple people to make the story. But you're overall
And they dramatized it a little bit, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I thought the most important thing was the actual script was pretty true to form.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to ask about the new guy in the band, Vivian Campbell. He's been in the band since 92. But I remember a few years ago, there was a report that he had cancer. I haven't heard much about that.
He's doing great.
Is he doing great?
He ended up going for immunotherapy.
Okay.
And he's doing really well.
What a guitar player.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Just amazing. You guys have the ceremonies for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I assume, and I haven't read the latest on who's going to be there, accepting, performing, all this stuff, plans to be there and to perform and do the whole thing?
I hope everybody shows up.
Okay. Thank you. I can't stand when the artists blow that. I mean, I'm a big Dire Straits fan, and they blew it off. I'm like, no!
Yeah. No, you can't.
Do that.
It's just getting a nod from your peers and everybody, you know. I mean, we've been working really hard at this, and it's let's have a party, you know.
I like that attitude.
I want to ask a question. What is your favorite song that you guys have created?
I think the one song that just puts me in the right frame of mind and gives me just a feeling of well-being is the song Hysteria.
Oh, okay. No kidding. Yeah. Love that song.
Yeah. Okay. So off of that album, I just want to tell you, it was the summer of 1987. I'm at my pool. I belong to a swim club. Guy lives across the street.
He's not posting, by the way.
No. I'm listening.
Guy lives across the street from the swim club, and he had been doing off the high dive at 2.5 for weeks. He pumps himself up, and I kid you not, he comes into the swim club with a boombox on his shoulder, pour some sugar on me's on, right? And this is just a vivid memory that I have in my mind, right? And so it's the summer '87, boom, you know, and he's pumping himself up, walks in through the entrance, down, puts the boombox down on the bench, takes his shirt off, gets up onto the high dive, and doesn't even wait 1 second, goes off the high dive, one flip, two flips, 2.5 flips, flat on his back.
Ouch. Ouch.
It was so loud, and it hurt so bad. And then he laid there in the diving well like, oh. And then he got out of the pool, dried himself off, grabbed his boom box, and left.
Ouch. Hey, he tried.
Yes, he did.
And he's listening to the right music. You know? Right.
Want to hear my Def Leppard memory? Yeah. Probably in, I don't know, it was probably in eighth grade. I know we got to wrap up, but the most bold fashion statement I've ever made in my life.
Oh.
I walked into school that morning wearing my sleeveless Union Jack t-shirt that I got before anybody had their hands on. I'd taken a family trip to San Francisco, and there it was in a shop. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, Photograph had just come out, and Joe wore that shirt, and it was so iconic. And I wore... People, heads were just snapping around to look at
fantastic.
Where did you get that? It was amazing, Rick.
You had your own theme song at that point.
I did. Listen, we know you guys have to go. I'm going to remind people of the details of Rick Allen, Legends and Dreams, and his gallery appearances.
The stuff is amazing, by the way.
Cool. It's thank you, guys. Wonderful artwork, and it's multimedia. You do some stuff on drums as well, and there's all kinds of great stuff. But in at the Hard Rock Hotel from 5 to 8 p.m. tonight, and then Sunday in King of Prussia from 1 to 4. These are the Wentworth Galleries. So
yes, Wentworth Galleries.
Make sure that you stop by and see him. Rick, a pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on all the success, and thank you for being here this morning.
Fantastic. What does it mean at the beginning? Gunter Glieben Glauben Glauben?
Gunter Glieben Glauben Glauben?
We don't know.
Let's hear it for Rick Allen, everybody. Thank you, sir. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
First of all, what a super nice guy Rick Allen of Def Leppard was. I mean, just a gentleman all the way around.
I've always loved that band and loved the music, but I honestly, it's the truth. After that whole incident about with the behind the music and seeing how they stuck together and supported each other, they're just good guys.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, and there was a time where they were having more sex than anyone on the planet.
It was actually certified by the president of the United States.
It was the height of glam rock, and female groupies were just I mean, stacked up to go and hang with those guys.
Because their audience, they appealed. There were certain bands that appealed to women far more. Yeah. And the glam rockers were in that and they were collective. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to be a glam rocker. I'm telling you, that's the main reason why. So, but anyhow, Rick Allen was wonderful, a super nice guy. And I wanted, and we pushed the B file back. So we're going to do a short bizarre file here.
What?
And then we're going to go into some other stuff. So we have to do it. I apologize, but he had to get a little earlier. So we foregoed. No.
Forewent?
Forewent.
Foregone. Yeah.
Foregone. We foregone the bizarre file.
It. Yeah, we foregone it.
We foregone it.
We forgot the bizarre file. Yeah. And
we moved it.
So we're going to do that next. But I do, we have a new Daily Rush video. It's up with another wonderful, unexpectedly awesome interview, and that was Jim Kerr of Simple Minds.
Yes,
he was here a few weeks back, and he stopped in, and it was such a great interview, and we now have that available up in the Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com, and you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Okay, so let's do a short bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it's brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. There's something for all of the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing. Go to JFPB.com and save up to 50% on lift tickets. JFPB, where the snow comes first. How about this, man? When the Pearl Harbor submarine USS Bremerton, the oldest commissioned sub in the Navy, made a stop in the Philippines on his farewell tour on March 1st of last year, Commander Travis Zettel said that he and his crew were looking forward to the opportunity to engage with the local community. Well, as it turned out, the Navy was less than pleased with the sub skipper's choice of engagement, which included paying for 10 prostitutes at once.
Hey, would you fellas like some whores?
I think these may have been just for him, though, Steve.
Just for him? Naval, whoa, someone's greedy.
Naval Colonel.
Oh, they're all for me.
Investigative service agents were alerted that Zettel had told two other sailors at a hotel pool that he had requested and ordered 10 girls to arrive at the hotel.
Gotta tell you, after the seventh whore, I just took a nap.
One of the sailors saw Zettel with about 10 provocatively dressed females outside the entrance of the hotel. He later admitted to Navy investigators that he paid for female accompaniment.
That just doesn't work.
Another Navy member had three local females holding onto his arm as he was wandering around and greeting sailors from his command.
And this is all part of the farewell trip for the submarine?
You got to go out with a bang, right?
Yes, yeah. With, at that point, 17 of them.
Navy officials cited a loss of confidence in the subskipper's ability to command, but were cryptic about the reasons for the removal.
We're also going to inject heroin.
He was a more than 20-year naval officer, and he said on his LinkedIn page that he was the commander of the Bremerton from August 2016 to August 2018, and he said that he is now a transitioning naval officer. So, 10 seemed like a good idea at the time. So, why not?
10!
Two stories involving a cruise ship.
Yes.
Royal Caribbean says recent cruise passenger Nick Nadev has been banned from sailing with them for life after he leaped from the Symphony of the Seas while it was docked in Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh, wait, there's video of it, right?
Yes, there is.
I saw it.
The 27-year-old from Vancouver, Washington, first shared footage of himself making the leap from the 11th floor of the ship on Friday. That's way the hell up there.
I didn't realize how high it was. You see him jump, the camera, or at least the angle I saw, was like zoomed in, and then I'm like, oh my God, he's still going. Yeah, he's still dropping.
It's basically 11 stories. And you hit the water. He's lucky he's not dead.
Yeah.
In the video, Nadev's friends can be seen helping him stand on the railing before he takes the plunge. Immediately following the stunt, Nadev was told that he wouldn't be allowed to reboard the ship and would have to find his own way home from the Bahamas. He told Fox News, I am truly astonished at how this video has spread throughout the internet. I did not think this through before I jumped. My idea was that this would be a good laugh for my friends and I would just swim back to shore and continue my vacation. Royal Caribbean says it is seeking legal action against Nadev.
Also,
we were talking about this. You were talking, Kathy, about somebody you know who works in the industry who says you don't realize how many people fall overboard and actually jump overboard.
Oh, yeah. He said, like, it's not when they hear that there's been a death, they're like, okay, like, it's not a big deal. It happens that often. But also, I found weird with this video, the second thing that I noticed after the tremendous fall, why did he keep his shirt on?
I don't know. Who knows?
He's got, he's got puffy nipples.
The bathing suit and a button down. Like,
I honestly, I was thinking you should have probably kept your shoes on, because of
that
the,
probably
the,
hurt.
The impact, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a follow-up story to this, and it's not so bright and sunny. As Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas returned to Port Port Canaveral. I didn't know there was a Port Canaveral.
I didn't know that.
Following an outbreak that sickened hundreds, a teen died falling from the company's sister ship, Harmony of the Seas.
Oh,
officials say 16-year-old Laurent Mercer died Friday after falling from the ship onto a pier in Haiti. Royal Caribbean's Harmony of the Seas was docked where the company owns a private beach. Officers say Mercer apparently didn't have his room card and attempted to enter his eighth-floor room from an adjacent balcony. Before losing his footing and falling. It's horrible. God.
Well, on the balconies, by the way, they put these dividers so you would have to literally be hanging off the ship to get around it.
So that's sad, and that's why you don't jump off the side of a ship, too.
This has caused a delay in their commissioning of their new addition to the fleet, Suicide of the Seas.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right, then we need one other story, and let's go with this one. Memphis police say a man broke into a pickup, parked in a garage, ate candy, drank beer, left it in the truck, and then spray-painted the truck's interior before going to sleep inside of it.
What a night!
A person who owns the truck told police his pregnant wife ran inside the house after finding the man in their garage behind their home just after 7 a.m.
I had some candy.
He told police that the man tried to follow his wife into the house before he was chased away. Video shows a homeowner chasing the man out of his yard behind his house. Police said the man drank 8 Pabst Blue Ribbon beers, ate the candy, and stole several items. Tuesday afternoon, the homeowner found the man at the Starbucks and called police. And I don't know why he spray-painted the inside of the car.
It's just something you do.
Michael Rudd was charged with burglary and theft. Maybe that's what 8 Pabst Blue PBRs will do for you.
Yeah, I don't like the color.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. You know what?
What?
What did I do with that stuff? I had a whole bunch of stories.
What stuff are we talking?
It was either going to be Noticer or Junter. Hang on a
second. Wow. Well, I'm going to vote for the Noticer.
Okay. All right, Casey?
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
Is there a difference?
Can I tell you something I noticed?
Not one bit. Only the announcer.
What, Casey?
I had a question.
The only difference between the junk drawer and the noticer is the announcer, and that's me. Go ahead, Casey.
I was at an establishment, and I went into the bathroom, and inside the bathroom, there was a fire alarm smoke detector thing right on the wall.
Yes.
And on the wall, on the fire, somebody had... not spray painted. It almost looked like it was like whiteout ink.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching The Americans on FX, and it's about Russian spies. And I'm looking at this
thing.
The
Stew episode.
It's not the Stew episode. Okay. But I'm looking at what was written on this thing, and I couldn't help but think. I'm like, is that a tag, right? Just a normal graffiti tag. Or is that a message to somebody? Do you know what I mean?
You believe that it was something meant to alert Soviet spies?
Maybe not Soviet spies.
Okay, because that's over.
Yeah, you know, you walk into a bathroom and you see this on a
Casey, is that you?
Like, check under the sink, you right. know, or something like that. You
how is big is
a manila envelope under the toilet?
How big is the fire detector?
The tag.
I don't know, like this big.
What did it say?
Sniper?
It said sniper?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like somebody's name.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I think if you were to pull the alarm, a sniper would show up. It's the quickest way.
Just in case. Yeah.
You just sniper. Pull the alarm.
Yeah, hi.
And some guy comes out in a ghillie suit.
I'm your sniper.
Yes.
It's like Uber. Uber, sniper, the whole thing.
That's our security measure here. We'll pull the sniper alarm.
I don't know. Get a sniper.
I was just trying to buy you some time there, Preston, so you can find your stories.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Casey bought Preston some time.
Don't you Christ me.
Oh, you know what I noticed? I noticed that the smell of fatty food is quite intoxicating and can lead you to, you know, want to eat right then and there.
It makes you hungry.
Yeah. So a new study, though, reveals that if you smell something that is fatty, so let's say like a slice of pepperoni pizza or something like that. They said if the study reveals that if you smell it for about 2 minutes, your craving will pass.
If you oversmell it?
No, if you sit there and you just take that scent in for a couple of minutes.
Won't you become lightheaded?
Your desire to. You don't have to. Not in one shot. Steve, you don't do a 2 minute inhale.
What's Steve doing out there?
I'm swallowing pepperoni!
I've heard this as a tactic
for people who are dieting, who are trying to cut back on what they're eating, and that if you sit there and you smell the chocolate cake after dessert,
it's almost like dinner, eating it?
That it'll satiate you.
Okay.
I find that to be shenanigans, and I disagree because the smell is nice, the taste is better.
Are you saying that one will not be sated and that's merely shenanigans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all exculpatory.
It is. But, I mean, you're essentially just becoming nose blind to it. That's it. That's right?
But maybe so. That might be it. Here's what
I think you're looking at the new Bird Box movie.
I've been watching what I eat, and I go through phase. I've had a successful run at losing weight, and right now I just want to lose a few pounds, and I already have. And one of the things that I've found when you are starting to change your eating habits.
Yes.
That hunger pangs actually come in cycles. So you can get
periods.
It's a lot like periods, a lot like menstruation, but no blood. But no, you have this hunger sensation of, man, I'm starving. I really need to eat something. If you can stick it out for about 5 or 10 minutes, that sensation does go away.
It does.
And it's an exercise in self-control.
That's how people are able to starve to death.
And it's hard to do. I remember getting an email from somebody who desperately needed to lose somewhere in the neighborhood of like 80 pounds.
Wow.
And they saw that I lost 60 plus pounds, and they were asking me how to do it. And they said a big problem is they get hungry. And I said, and I kind of talked to them almost like a child. I was like, look, I'm like, you're a grown-up. Okay, it's uncomfortable. Yes, being hungry is not fun, but trust me, if you stick it out for just a few extra minutes, that feeling will pass if you're just trying to get to actual, like, dinner time, when it is time to eat, as opposed to snacking in between and wanting to eat.
Right.
You can get past it. It just takes some self-control, and you just have to be uncomfortable for a little while. And once you get used to that, and if you do that for, like, 2 weeks, it's no problem.
Sometimes. And it's a trick I always use. I always keep a full thermos of stew at the ready.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. You eat the whole thing, or do you just
take a sip?
You
little shot glass of stew.
Okay.
So that's why I think this smelling for a few minutes and just abstaining for that time being,
that
you can get past it.
So you're saying
but it's self-control.
If you sniff with all your might, you'll pass out and the hunger will pass.
By the time you wake up,
I'm not hungry anymore.
I'm not hungry anymore.
But my head is killing me.
So here's what they did. That is my personal observation on losing
this
weight.
This is the editorial.
Yes, it is. Now back to the hard facts.
That was the editorial. The Noticer.
University of Florida researchers exposed
from the desk of the Noticer.
Exposed a group of participants to the scent of strawberries, apples, biscuits, or pizza. They found those who sniffed the unhealthy options for less than 30 seconds were more likely to want them. But if they
sniff the biscuit.
Stick your face down there.
Go ahead, you bitch. Sniff that biscuit.
I don't want to
sniff the biscuit.
It's a new weight loss. It's Jenny Craig Deluxe.
But if they
sniff the goddamn biscuit.
If they sniff them for more than 2 minutes, they stopped finding them desirable.
Don't you are? You're just a biscuit sniffer.
And they instead craved the fruit. Huh. So experts say the findings suggest air freshener manufacturers should develop food-scented ones to curb people's urges to eat unhealthy foods and turn the curb to obesity epidemic. What?
So what you have to do is burn the turd.
Burn the turd.
I find little, for example, like I like blueberries. Like if I start to feel hunger pangs, and I do the same thing as your president, I'll just power through them and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Wait till I get to the meal, to a legitimate meal. Blueberries or little things like that, or even a third of a cup of coffee with
a little bit too.
Something. Yeah. It'll definitely get you past.
But the sensation will.
And then I just keep smelling until I pass out.
The sensation will pass. I've lost like 5 pounds this week alone.
Whoa, really?
But I mean, yeah, I've been exercising really, really hard, and I've been
taking big bowel movements.
No, I restarted using the Lose It.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I saw you doing that yesterday in the meeting.
Yeah, I want to lose about a dozen pounds.
I thought you were playing craps.
It's a good way to do it. No, it wasn't.
That was later in the meeting.
But the Lose It app is another. Dr. Mike turned us on to that. It's a free app, and it takes about a week or two to get into the groove, but once you're there, it's no problem.
Do you know what really worked? Well, not that I was looking to lose weight, but in diet modification, Dr. Rosenpenis.
Yeah.
The whole,
positive suggestion.
Positive
and so on.
Dr. Rosenberg.
I heard getting mono is really good for losing weight. So,
honestly? Yeah. It's awesome.
I heard turkey bacon's good for it.
It is good. Yeah. And we will give some away in just a little while. I noticed something else.
More from the noticer.
Yeah.
Now that you're done sniffing your food and your biscuits, let's move on.
I noticed that hermit crabs have really long penises.
Do they really?
Yes.
I mean, relatively speaking. Yes, yes. Right?
I'm sure a blue whale still beats them.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. And they may have evolved longer penises so that they can avoid being robbed sex.
If you have penises that big, why be such a hermit?
Yeah.
Why not socialize more?
Well, most hermit crabs live in the discarded shells of other creatures, such as snails, moving into a larger shell when they outgrow the old one. But suitable shells are often in short supply.
I like the shell. A lot of room for my penis.
This presents a problem for amorous hermit crabs, since they actually must come part of the way out of their shells in order to mate. And ooh, as a crab emerges, it can create an opportunity for another crab to come along and steal their shell.
The vagina crab.
So a biologist, Mark Ladry, reasoned the longer penises might solve this dilemma for males, allowing them to reach out to a female while keeping the rest of their bodies firmly inside their shells.
So they're basically staying at home but still having sex outside.
Yeah. To test the idea, he measured hermit crabs preserved as museum specimens. The specimens represented 9 species with different approaches to shell use. 3 of the species modify their interiors of shells. A laborious...
Your brain has the shell on it.
Okay, a few more clips. A laborious undertaking that increases the value of the shell to its owner. Another 5 species using unmodified shells, still valuable but easy to replace. In the final species, shells are only used by juveniles, so mating adults have nothing for other crabs to steal. Now, as predicted, this guy found out that the longest penises, relative to body size,
yes,
belong to the hermit crabs with the most to lose, those that modified their shells. Indeed, the more a species invested in remodeling, the longer its penis tended to be.
It's what I've always thought, that the hermit crab who spends more time modifying his shell is going to have a huge penis.
A huge penis.
I mean, it stands to reason.
The 5 species that used unmodified shells tended to have medium-length penises on average.
So hermit crabs that don't really give a damn have tiny dongs?
They have tiny penises.
Yeah.
And they get their houses stolen from them. By the way, Nick, you've been to the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands.
You ever make it with a hermit crab?
Yeah, you ever have sex with a hermit crab?
I was walking down the hill one time towards the beach, and I heard a lot of clicking, and I had no idea what it was, and it was all of the hermit crabs working their way to the ocean, working their way down the hill.
At night?
That's what it sounded like.
When we would go out, leave to go get something to eat or wherever in the evening, you had to watch where you stepped or else you were going to step on hermit crabs.
Was it a hermit crab orgy?
No. Steve, they were all over the place.
Steve, that little sound clip that you played, multiply that literally by 1,000.
Yeah.
And it was that going down the hill.
It's wild.
And it's, they were working their way to the beach.
I love it.
And it kind of sounded like that.
But they're all over the place.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I don't like stepping on crabs.
We were afraid that we were going to be crunching these little guys. Poor little thing.
Little did you know they would be protected by the huge penises.
Yeah, they just draped their penis over their head.
I got this.
It's a shield.
Yeah, you can jump up and down on this penis.
We had one for a little while, and actually a long while. It lasted forever. I mean, we would leave for like weeks vacation and come back, and the thing was still alive.
Well, you know, it stands to reason that if you have a huge penis, you have a lot more desire to live.
I guess.
Don't they do a big thing down the shore with hermit crabs, like a hermit crab beauty? Yeah, it's a beauty pageant, I think they do.
Oh, they'll dress up the shells.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the one crab will leave one of the shells and move on to the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the majority of hermit crabs, or all of them, seek refuge in discarded shells.
They don't create their own. Yeah,
it's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
That
nature would F up that way.
Yeah. All right, I noticed something else.
More from the noticer. Moving on from crab penises. What'll be next?
Netflix.
Will
be next. They recently, released some information. They're doing wonderfully well. Their revenue was off a little bit, but they had added like another 9 million subscribers this year.
And you got to remember that's the basis for their revenue. I mean, they're not commercials. They're right. Not, that's how they get it done.
So they announced a price increase, but it turns out that increase would have to be a lot higher to offset the cost of customers sharing their passwords.
Are they trying to cut back on this now? Because they were encouraging it a while ago.
What are you pointing at?
I'm pointing at Nick. Nick uses...
I didn't know what you were talking about. A recent study...
He has a crab penis.
A recent study...
I'm trying not to talk because apparently Preston hates me today.
Well, I don't hate you today. It's kind of a turnaround, right? Because you started off saying it was going to be a Casey day.
Yeah.
You can
That's
talk.
Okay. No, I'm not going to talk.
Just don't say stupid stuff.
Just let it go.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Casey, how do you feel when Preston says that?
I'm not talking.
Preston, how do you feel when Casey won't talk?
I don't know what to say. I don't know.
Kathy?
It's not a bad thing.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So,
Nick, how do you feel about all this?
I love Netflix.
A recent study from cordcutting.com found that all this sharing means that Netflix loses out on $2.3 billion in revenue each year.
They made a mistake. It was about 2 years ago when they actively said and they released PR and hey, share your password.
Oh, really?
Yes, they did. We don't care was the deal. It was at the point they were doing well, and I figured, hey, they figured they would seduce more people into it, and perhaps that would exponentially increase the amount of people who were subscribing. Now, more people have subscribed, but billions of dollars is a lot of revenue to lose.
Mm-hmm. Looking at existing user numbers, the company estimated that for Netflix, about 24 million people who use the service didn't pay for it. Meanwhile, other streaming services lose around a quarter of what Netflix does from password sharing.
So I go for like the mega plan, you know, for multiple whatever it is. It's not that much more. And you get it on. The amount of devices in my home that have Netflix, everything has Netflix on it.
Yeah. Can you max out on the amount of platforms you can use your Netflix
on? No, when you just sign, well, you sign it to.
You absolutely can, because I am one of these people that share a password.
Really?
And I can only watch Netflix on one TV in my house.
Okay.
But I've made that decision and I'm fine with it.
No, I think Casey means, is there a subscription that will allow you unlimited screen usage?
I misheard.
Because I have it on a ton of different screens.
When you,
do you know what
but
I mean?
you sign in as Casey.
Yeah.
So when I sign in, or it goes, you know, you, in other words, I couldn't sign in on two separate units as me, you know?
I can. Yeah, I pay.
I've got five of them that are all under
I don't know how it works then, because I get access to all. You know, it just always comes up. I guess I was when I paid for the platinum or whatever the hell plan it is. It's just a couple bucks more, but, you know, you get that leverage.
I also have it. I find it hard to believe that they only make money through subscriptions. You know, like when they're all right. So
they're, and prostitution.
No. All right. So I'm gonna fund Punisher, right?
Okay.
On Netflix.
Well, that's very generous of you.
No, thank you. Okay. I am Netflix. I'm funding Punisher.
Okay.
Right. So I got to shell out. I don't even know. Let's just say $50 million to produce Punisher. Don't you think I'm getting money from whatever kind of car make Punisher's driving, or the FBI's driving? You know
what
I mean?
Here's what happens.
Or if he's drinking a Budweiser. Or
the company, in some cases that might be, but I think, like, for example, the Punisher's produced by a company that then sells it to Netflix.
Okay.
I believe. They're probably different models, you know, of how things work, and those companies will get production costs offset by product placement, you know?
By the way, despite the fact that they lose, or, you know, they have the potential to make $2.3 billion, it's unlikely that they'll start policing password sharing. As Netflix CEO Reed Hastings said in 2016, that he saw password sharing as the first step for the company to win over another user, which is kind of like us, you know, with our podcasting in the beginning. We were told by management, don't do that. We have advertisers, and why would you
want them to listen on the radio?
We want them to listen on the radio. And we're like, yes, but we can use this to maybe have other people listen at a different time that may not listen to our show, because they listen to a different show and they might hear what they like. And then they'll tune in to the radio program.
Then they're at work. They turn to their friend. I heard a great show today talking about crab penises.
Right.
And then people are interested.
And then it worked. And then we were number one and have been.
Steve, I was watching on Netflix last night. I was watching an episode of The Office that was probably about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And one of the jokes in The Office was that Michael had his Netflix movies delivered to the office.
Yes.
But it just reminded me of that's what the Netflix model was for so long. It was getting
a red envelope.
Red envelope that would show up. And so there was a Netflix joke on a Netflix show that was 10 years old last night. It just kind of was like, man, this is times have changed.
It's hilarious.
By the way, cord cutting data showed that about 60% of the respondents said that they would be willing to pay for a Netflix subscription if they were caught stealing. So they would pay for it anyway.
You know what, though? Like, I mean, I upgraded my subscription because I didn't realize we could only watch it on one device. And Jace kept kicking me off the show that I was watching. We were trying to do it at the same time.
And
I was like, why? And I called Netflix, and they were like, well, you only have one device, you have to upgrade. So I easily did it.
We're having an issue here at home. It's trying to log on. It's
trying to watch Fuller House and I can't get on with going off.
All right. That's all that I noticed. Santa's got to go.
That's all from the noticer.
Yeah, take a break.
What happened?
Sorry.
We had a 7-second bizarre file.
I know. But I got to give away some 6 packs of coupons. Good for 6 full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon.
Whoa!
Of which we have all been dining on this morning. You got to love these guys. And I'll take callers number 10 and 11 at 215-263. WMMR. So give us a call right now and we will set you up with that. And don't forget the Godshall's turkey bacon makes it easy to keep your New Year's resolution to eat healthier and lighter. You can get recipes at godshalls.com. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let me do another quick giveaway, and then, Case, I want to hear what you have to say. I have our friends at Godshall's Turkey Bacon here. 80% less fat than most pork bacon, gluten-free, and never any MSG. Caller number 6 will give you a 6-pack of coupons good for 6 full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. 215-263-WMMR. Call
right
now.
Great stuff.
Case, you have an appearance coming up?
I do. In fact, we were talking about the weather coming tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. I think, you know, maybe tonight might be the best night to come out to this event. It's the Motorsports Expo. It's a race car and trade show.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
going on at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. Last year I was there. It's really, really cool. Get up close and personal with these all sorts of different types of race cars. And also, it's where I discovered this the beef jerky stand last year. So it was really, really...
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
Did they have more than one display beef jerky?
I only found
one. I know
it's
a motorsports show.
Yeah.
And then I discovered the beef jerky stand.
Well, I've been to these events before, Casey, where there are several tables of beef jerky.
Okay.
And you don't necessarily know why they might be at, like, the RV show, but they show up anyway, and you're happy that they're there.
Well, they call the fans jerk-offs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think they have... maybe a residency at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center.
Sort of like Celine Dion in Vegas.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. Right. So right. I will be there from 5 until 7 tonight.
My jerky will go on forever. So I'm sorry, Case, how long are you there for?
From 5 to 7.
Is it just race cars and things of that nature? But it's all sorts of motor sports, right?
All sorts of motor sports stuff. Yeah. So I spent a good bit of time looking for a number 93 car to get a picture with.
Yeah.
Found one.
Oh, you did?
Right next to the jerky stand. Yeah. Well, that's actually how I found the jerky stand. I was looking for... I'm like, oh, my God, jerky!
Oh, my God!
You know how easy it is for me to get distracted.
Yeah. Casey, maybe they'll have a stew stand set up.
Oh.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, no. No, Preston. A stew koozie.
Yeah.
You actually get in the jacuzzi filled with stew.
Yeah, there's like little, you know, carrots floating around and stuff.
Potato chunks.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Isn't that what the wings are doing?
Yeah.
Jacuzzi.
All right. I don't even know if they have that on the roster, but call them up and tell them to add the stew-coozy.
Oh, okay. Stew-coozy.
Stew-coozy.
A brew-coozy.
A brew-coozy.
Right? Ooh. So you can put beer in there.
I like that.
And a Jew-coozy. Rabbis.
No. I don't know what other koozies you could come up with. A
koozie koozie.
Hey, Steve, a goo koozie.
A goo koozie.
Wonder what we Sploosh. Put in that.
Have, Peter North. You and Peter North.
Oh, my God.
In the jacuzzi.
Oh, my God. Wow.
There's all sorts of things. Hey, let me ask you a quick question, if I may.
Yeah. Does that have to do with porn?
It doesn't have to do with porn. Okay. But so in weather like this, you have the hot tub, right?
I do.
Is this like perfect?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much required.
Yeah.
When we get snow... It's everybody out to the hot tub.
And it's you feel good and invigorated. Is it like a medicinal thing? Do you feel?
Well, no. It's just, it's neat
to be, yes, I used the word neat. It is neat to be outside when it's absolutely freezing cold and you are not. And it's just comfortable because you're essentially, I mean, you're almost naked and you're outside and you're amongst the snow and this inclement weather. And it's cool. It's a neat sensation.
But they're not like, I was sort of looking at some, they're not wildly expensive. I mean, they're
not as much as
you would think.
You can get floor models. You can get actually like slightly used ones.
Can I heat up my septic tank?
I would not. No. It's probably flammable at some point.
Oh, you're probably right.
You have to
right.
wear a hat, Preston. Like, is your head cold?
Yeah, you wear like a top hat.
No, even Kathy, I've had my hair freeze.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And not cool. been cold. Because the rest of your body is so warm, and it warms up the blood that's going through your body. I assume. But,
better pubes.
One of the things you have to keep in mind, though, if you are purchasing a hot tub, Casey, is where you're going to put it and if you have a place to put it or not. Because if you don't, you have to get a concrete pad poured, and that's going to cost you money as well. And then you have to have the electricity run to it and all those other things. And obviously, it costs for you to run it, too.
Well, and then you need a wizard.
You do not need a wizard. Well, I mean, I think sometimes electricians are wizards. But
true.
And it's terrible. I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey, though, but, I mean, we do have the hot tub. We don't use it as much as I would like to. But it runs all the time. So it's hot all the time. So
even in the summer?
And if we haven't used it for like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I'm like, oh, man, there's all that energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But energy's limitless.
Yeah, you're right.
What you could do is just plug it into your neighbor's outlet.
Right.
Yeah. Or while you're not in it, make stew.
Make stew. Yeah.
Community stew.
You're the only person that I know that uses their hot tub the way you do and as much as you do. I mean, you just said there's a time period that'll go by and you won't use it. But anybody that I know that's ever had a hot tub, it like grows mold and then they end up getting rid of it. Like,
everyone I know who has it, Kathy, and like my brother has one. They use it. This is the time of year to use it is this time of year.
Yeah. My cousin actually uses it all the time in the winter. He's a cigar smoker, so he'll go out there and then have a stogie at night. He might. I don't know. He definitely has a stogie, but during the summer, Kath, he actually drains it and unplugs it and doesn't use it at all.
In the summer,
In the summertime,
we use it in the summer. Yeah, we definitely use it in the summer. But I tell you what's great about being in a hot tub outside when it is really, really cold is your beverage stays ice cold the whole time.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking beers, you just set them out on the deck.
Yeah.
They stay cold. They never
Now Kathy's up for that.
Yeah.
I can leave my wine on the side.
I thought I was going.
It's so chilly. And yet my nipples are toasty.
Oh my God.
I thought I was going to have one by now. I could have sworn.
You keep going out and looking in the backyard and you're still not there.
No. My wife and I, we need to kind of redo our deck, and we had talked about doing it. We have a friend of ours that does this stuff, the decking stuff, and this is their slow time, so we're going to have them do it around now. I could have sworn that the way we were talking over the summertime that I would be soaking in a hot tub in my backyard tonight.
I don't know. Just Preston, the way you've talked about it, and I was just looking outside, and I just in my mind I thought that you savor it.
Oh,
you know?
Great. It's great. And you can just go out there for 15 minutes and be fine. My neighbor has been hand-wringing about it for years. He's been asking me about it for like 5 years. Preston, do you really use it in the winter? I'm like, dude, just go buy the damn thing.
Why don't you shut up?
Just do it. Here's my tip. If anybody is considering doing it.
Shut up!
Keep it as close to your back door as possible.
Yeah.
It is 5 steps from my back door to the hot tub. And the reason being is because when it gets this cold out, and also something you don't think about, it's kind of you just got to kind of learn this, that on really, really cold days, like it's going to be on Monday, and we probably will get out in the tub then, is the last person out has to be very, very careful because it will ice up from wet people walking across the deck.
Yeah. So,
and if you're the last person, it's already frozen and you can slip and fall.
You're saying
ass.
In 16 degrees.
Yeah, it'll freeze.
But you can go out and go in the tub and you'll be.
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd be fine, yeah.
Wow.
Most definitely.
So my problem here is I found you know what the endless pools are?
Yes. You mean like an infinity pool?
No, the ones
that swimmers who want to swim. The water flows against you.
So I think that's maybe why I don't have one right now, because that's what I think I want now.
Well,
because
listen,
you can
awesome.
Get one with a separate hot tub well in it as well.
Okay.
And so, I could literally do laps in December and January.
Well, let me ask you something. Does Okay.
Yeah.
Does the limitless pool, does the swimming part of the pool heat up like the jacuzzi part?
Yes.
It does?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much does it cost to heat that up?
Well, probably a lot, I guess. Yeah. I don't know, but you
just run a court to Preston's house.
Preston, what's your jacuzzi at?
105. Well, we keep about 103, but 105 is what it'll top out at.
Yeah. See, what you would do with where the pool part is, where you're doing the laps, you don't have it up to 105. You have it up to like 80 something. Right.
Oh, all right. So you've done a little bit of research.
You
on
did
it.
A little bit of research.
You don't have to be Bill Gates.
No. There. And in fact, somebody texted and says people give hot tubs away that are perfectly fine every day on Craigslist.
Yeah, it's like really. It's like a grand piano. They just don't want to keep it
anymore.
They
want to get rid of it.
They want to get rid of it. Yeah. And if they're moving, and sometimes you would think just sort of on the surface that owning a hot tub or a pool would be something that would be beneficial to selling a house, but it can actually be detrimental in the cost
because
of the insurance involved. So if you're moving and and the people moving into your house don't want that, that's a great place to get one for
free.
If
I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying you can fill a grand piano up with hot water?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You would ruin it, but you could do that.
You could totally do it.
We carefully considered that when we were going to build our pool at the house. We're like, look, we know that it makes it more difficult to sell. But we stepped back and we're like, we're going to stay here for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is our home. We're here for good.
Who buys a house? I want to buy something I can sell.
Right.
I mean, you have to take that into consideration, but you don't. It's funny. Whereas I was having this conversation with some neighbors about, you forget the process. When we're moving into this house we've been in for like a year and a half, you go through all this hand wringing. How am I going to do this? And oh my God, that store is now over there. And you forget, you did the same thing with the last house that you ended up perfectly comfortable in.
You adjust eventually. Yeah. And if it's a place where you plan on not moving from anytime soon, owning a pool is a great idea. But if if you're just thinking you're going to be there for a few years, you're literally pouring money into a hole in the ground.
Oh my God, what if my neighbor keeps asking about my hot tub?
Wait, what did you say makes more difficult to sell your house? The pool?
A pool. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because not everybody wants that.
Yeah, most people aren't looking for a pool.
Don't want the upkeep of it.
Yeah, okay. And whatever, they have kids, or for one reason or another, or they want to use their yard for something
else. Do you know what jacks up the price, too? The screaming prisoner in the pit in the basement?
Yeah.
Always bad.
You can't always take them with you.
But every now and then, you get lucky, and somebody's looking for that, Steve.
Have a prisoner pit in the basement?
When I bought my first...
Comes with a prisoner.
Bought my first house, there was a trampoline in the backyard, and the people selling the house were like, hey, here's a trampoline. I was like, no,
okay.
Get rid of that thing.
Do you know what I found out? I know this sounds is a weird conversation to have on a snowy day, but the predominant amount of pools that are built these days are rectangular, like long, regular classic pools are hardly done at all.
Yeah.
They're all like kidney shaped like lagoon pools.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they sometimes they'll have I forgot what they call the shallow area. It's a
penis.
No, it's like where you can set a chair in.
It's
like a beach entrance.
Yes.
Those are cool.
Zero entry.
Yeah.
John from Sequoia has he had a pool. Anthony and Sylvan did it for him, and so he was talking about it's one of those. He's trying to explain it to me. I'm like, it's like at the beach. What do you mean? What do you mean? It means you gradually walk in,
I love those.
We went with the regular rectangular one. My wife wanted that particular design. I wanted something that had, rounded edges and so forth, but I'm really happy with ours.
She just said no.
Yep, she said no.
Hey, so if anybody...
All right, dear.
Here's what I want, honey.
Why don't you get out of the pool of the hot tub first so I can slip on the ice?
I'm the same way. I don't know. Happy life.
Here's somebody who got one off of got a hot tub off Craigslist. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, Mike. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just going to agree with what you said. I got a hot tub. I got one off Craigslist. Fully working. Everything was great. The hardest part was just transporting the thing, finding a way to move it.
Yeah.
But luckily, my job, I had a truck I could use with a boom and stuff like that. But
that's awesome.
It's amazing. They gave me the bill and everything. It was like a $13,000 hot tub when it was purchased new like 5 years ago.
And what'd you pay for it?
Nothing. Got it for free.
Kidding. He took it away. That's all he had to do.
Wow.
That's what a lot of people want. They just want you to come and get it.
Get it out of here.
Is anybody getting rid of an endless pool? I'll come and get it right now. I'll put it in the back of my car.
Do you know what, though? On Craigslist, there's missed misconnections for hot tubs. Like if you see a hot tub on a train or something.
Right.
Misconnections.
I saw you on SEPTA today. You're a hot tub.
Maybe they'll have one of those stand-up bathtubs, Case. You could get one of those.
Oh,
the door
one. By the way, you sit and you close the door. Yeah.
Do you guys know if, I don't know why you would know this, endless pools are made in Aston?
They're not really endless.
No, but can you buy them straight from the manufacturer? Do you got to go to like a, do you know what I mean, Press? Like,
sometimes you can. Sometimes you can buy them directly from the manufacturer at tremendous savings.
Do you know the name of the company?
It's called Endless Pool.
Endless Pool?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. And they're made in Aston?
They're made there.
Case, okay. I have Endless Love on Blu-ray. I don't know. It's not the same thing, but it's a wonderful
the
story.
The original with Brooke Shields?
Yeah. Okay.
That might be worth it. All right. Anyhow.
Sorry to take you off on that tangent.
No.
I thought of, I love thinking of you semi-nude in the cold.
Are you doing anything tonight, Preston? Can I come over and go in your hot tub after I'm done at my gig at the,
I would love
Oaks?
It if you came by.
Oh, no. All right. Come on. Say no.
He'll bring the carrots and the potatoes.
I'm not talking to you.
I was so hoping he was going to be like, no. Yeah, come
doesn't
on.
Matter. I'm coming over anyway.
No. I'm not drinking or anything right now. It's sober January.
Yes,
so
it is.
Come on over,
how's that
man.
Going?
I'm thirsty.
He's got one more week, Dad.
Well, your birthday. I was telling Seven Nick that days. Yesterday. I'm like, you know, I got another week to go to my birthday. I'm not doing all of January. I mean, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
No, but I'm going to wait till my birthday on Friday.
Not really sober.
And I told Nick yesterday, I'm like, you know, I got a week to go and getting thirsty. I'm getting thirsty.
We are having a party for my mom on Sundays. My mom turned 70. Happy birthday, Betsy. And
it's a flash freeze party.
It is. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how many people are able to make it into town. But my dad placed me in charge of alcohol, Preston, so wine and beer. And so I've done all that shopping, and I haven't had a drink since New Year's Eve either. So I'm like, I'm not quite doing it the way that you're doing it.
Right.
But as I was gathering all the alcohol yesterday, I'm like, oh, yeah.
You start salivating a
absolutely.
Little bit?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were no intentions to have this anywhere outside, right?
It's in a church. It's just people getting there.
How do you like your birthday, Mom?
Yeah.
Mom?
Did Hello? You go to Total Wine?
My dad went to Total Wine, yeah, and picked up some stuff there, too. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not and how many people drink on Sunday, myself included.
Okay. Hang on. Back to the fire pit. I've never heard of this before. I'm going to go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. Here, Andrew, tell us what it says here on the screen. What do you do?
So I've got an uncle who lives up in the Poconos, and he's got a hot tub out back that he has a copper coil that he made right next to a big fire pit. And then what he'll do is he'll hook a hose up to the output jet on the hot tub and then another hose on the other end running back into the hot tub, make a fire, drop the copper coil into the fire, and probably within a half hour, the water is right up to around 100.
That is very inventive, and I think you'd have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll do a sort of makeshift version of that, and I'll drop the toaster into the bathtub.
Smart. Very smart.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I know that on my hot tub, I remember when we first got it. Okay, so they come over. Thank you for your call, by the way, Andrew. When we first got it set up, we're like, oh, this is fantastic. And it was like, in the afternoon, they filled up the water. I'm like, I can't wait to get in this thing.
Oh.
A couple hours will be good to go, right? No, dude, it takes like all day for that thing to heat up.
I mean, you're heating up an entire body of water.
Yeah, to over 100 degrees.
Yeah, because people say, like, excuse me, I have the permanent bubble in my throat. If you do scuba diving and you say, oh, I'm going to go swimming, and it's good, the water's 68 degrees, it's 70 degrees.
Oh,
No.
That's freezing. Cold.
Poor long-term exposure to water.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, when in the summertime, when the pool is open, if it's below 80 degrees, it's cold.
Mm.
It feels cold to you. It doesn't seem like it would be that way, but it's absolutely cold. If it gets like mid-80s, you're like, all right, this is comfy. And if it gets a little bit higher than that, it's like bathwater.
When you're in the hot tub, I hate to say it, it sounds like lifestyles of the rich and famous, but it's not. It's just a regular hot tub.
Yeah.
But do you ever get, like, is the inclination to get smashed if you're in the...
in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Of course. Absolutely.
Another reason to drink.
It promotes drinking. Without question.
And all I have to do is run across a sheet of ice back into the house.
Yeah. Well, you get drunk faster, too, Steve.
Do you?
Yeah, because at least I do. I, for whatever reason, like if I'm sitting in a hot tub, it affects me differently.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. You want to keep replenishing.
Why isn't the alcohol industry sponsoring? Why isn't there a Budweiser hot tub?
You're right. There should be.
Why is that? Is it because you get dehydrated more quickly because you're literally in such a hot environment?
It might be. Might be that you want to completely, you know, keep just...
There's no study for this, yet we know how long hermit penises are.
We do.
And even hermits.
All right. Anyhow, I've been told we need to take a break. So this has been winter hot tub
conversation. Hot tub chat.
Right. But we did learn, and I did not know, that if you are in the market for one, Check Craigslist. Craigslist, because apparently they give them away quite a bit. I had no idea. Let's give away some more turkey bacon. Godshall's is here. Turkey bacon, and it is real wood smoked from facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels, and you're only going to find that through Godshall's. We'll take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR.
11!
And we will set you up with that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll have some more bizarre file stories to share with you. Stay with us. We'll return in a moment.
Start the year off with MMR's fundraising scheme that's totally legit.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you. We can overload your pocket with a thousand in cash, and I'm like, fund you. Here's a what you do.
Introducing Go Fund Yourself. It's your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday with a second chance drawing for 10 grand. Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Bad Flower, the band that's called the Ghost, on 93.3 WMMR. It's the Day Night Rocks, Preston and Steve Show. Hey, how you doing? Friday, we got that, right? Yeah. Word of the Week prize, we got that too. And that's coming up in a little while.
You know what? So also, when a storm hits on the weekend, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's a little bit easier to deal with, I think. At least you're not forced to. I mean, some people do have to get where they need to be on the weekends, but the majority of people can take a little more, you know, cautious approach to that. So
I can stay inside and work on my flea circus.
Maybe you can do that. Sunday is when it's going to get, Monday is when it's really going to be kind of difficult to deal with, and that's with the ice and so forth, so maybe you can make your plans between now and then. Let us get a look at traffic and see what's going on. Our final look, Kathy.
95 southbound at Academy. The left lane is blocked. The Vine westbound slowing Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. Schuylkill eastbound slowing Montgomery to Spring Garden. University to South Street on the westbound side, and then City to Belmont. And then it looks like construction set up on Route 100 out in West Whiteland Township. It's northbound at Route 30. The right lane is closed. And then in Cherry Hill, 38 eastbound at Haddonfield, there's an accident blocking the right lane, but not really causing too much of a delay there. This traffic report brought to you by Walgreens. This week at Walgreens, buy one, get one free on hundreds of vitamins and supplements through February 23rd with card. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Yes, eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon. Accept no imitations, and thank you for serving food to all of our guests in the studio this morning.
Especially delicious today.
They brought some great stuff by goat cheese bacon samosas.
Ooh, those are really good.
Turkey bacon risotto balls.
Balls.
Maple bacon cupcakes. Bunch of good stuff, so you see what you can do. In this very heavily populated world where much of the human population lives cheek to jowl in cities, it's not uncommon to find a neighbor irritating. Well, 60 miles south of Buffalo in New York, close to the border with Pennsylvania, is a country town called Kiantone. And one resident in Kiantone named Brian Malta was so outraged by the conduct of one of his neighbors that he took out his replica Civil War cannon and fired it across his fence for 8 days straight.
Wow.
The cannon was loaded with powder and wadding, so it was technically no more dangerous than, you know,
a firework.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. However, the discharge could be heard for miles around, so eventually Malta was arrested and charged. You ever been to a Civil War reenactment?
You feel it in your chest.
It's concussive.
Yes.
Yeah, no question. While it's not illegal to own a cannon in New York State, deputies seized the weapon since it was being used maliciously. Malta was charged with harassment and was allowed home after posting $2,500 bail.
You need a benign cannon.
He will face 3 counts of second-degree menacing and 3 counts of second-degree harassment. Now, the only thing we don't know, No details on the cause of the dispute have been released by the authorities, so we don't know what got under the guy's skin and why he decided that a Civil War cannon,
you know what, though,
would be the best way to settle things.
Next time that neighbor asks about the jacuzzi,
yeah,
be nice to have a cannon.
Bang.
Yeah.
Palm Beach police say that a man who drove a Ferrari into the Palm Beach Inlet last December did so because he claimed Jesus told me to.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
Drive your Ferrari into the inlet.
James Mucciaccio was removing items from his Ferrari while parked on a public dock when an officer approached him, asked him what he was doing. He told the officer that his friend told him that he could park on the dock so that he could be picked up by boat. When the officer told him that he couldn't park there, Mucciaccio apologized, retreated to the vehicle to retrieve his driver's license. In dash cam video of the incident, Mucciaccio can be seen getting into his car, reversing briefly, then he puts it into drive, hits the gas, and sent the vehicle into the water, drove off the pier.
Psst, this is Jesus. You going to let him get away with that?
Two fishermen in a nearby boat who witnessed the scene jumped into the water and rescued the driver. When officers asked Mucciaccio why he decided to drive into the water, he said that Jesus told him that he needed to drive through the small gate on the dock and into, quote, a six-foot window.
What?
And he told officers, Jesus made me the smartest man on earth.
Wow.
And it's so hard to have this much responsibility. He said, money is going to be irrelevant in 2 days. Remember to smile.
Brush your teeth.
Mucciaccio is also told officers that he drove into the water because he believed that the officer on the dock was Egyptian and he did not believe in Jesus.
Ah.
Mucciaccio was not...
Now it makes sense.
...not injured in the incident. Now, divers were able to attach inflatable lift bags and raise the Ferrari to the surface where it was towed back on shore. Investigators say in a further twist, though, the license plate that was attached to the Ferrari actually belonged to Mucciaccio's Ford Mustang. So, I don't know.
He took it off the Mustang?
And put it on the Ferrari and right. drove the Ferrari into the inlet.
Well, he didn't want to drive his Mustang into the inlet. That'd be stupid.
Right. We're looking at video footage of the divers. They're actually, yeah. It's sitting on the bottom of the ocean floor.
Like, it looks literally as if he parked it on the ocean floor.
That's hilarious.
It landed, didn't flip over, landed on, yeah.
Landed perfectly. All right. Listen to this story. A cop called in to break up a brawl at a sex party, nearly fainted when he saw his wife was one of the two women involved.
Oh, yes.
No.
Estelle?
A trio of aspiring police officers in northeastern Mexico were holed up inside a local hotel room when the rendezvous turned into a fist fight. One of the women attacked the other, claiming that the man had spent more time being intimate with her.
Always happens, doesn't it?
The responding police officer was able to keep his composure despite noticing that his wife was one of the women involved in the tryst.
Oh, man.
Wow. He then rushed his spouse out of the hotel. The cadets, none of whom had been named but have been pictured, were looking to join the state police department, by the way. They were arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. Investigators say that the three future state cops were drinking at a local bar before booking a room. The cadets had not spent more than 2 hours at the hotel. Witnesses said that hotel employees were cheering on the man and applauding as they heard the trio making noises while they were having sex. The sex party was interrupted when one of the women thought that the man was being more intimate with the other woman. The heated discussion turned violent, and the hotel owner reported the chaotic scene to 911 after he heard screams and sounds of broken bottles coming from the room.
See, if the guy plays this right, who found his wife at the sex party... He can finally get those golf clubs he's always wanted. Yeah. Right?
Well, right now he has to... Well, he doesn't, but somebody has to pay a fine to cover the hotel damages. Can I do one more story? No? Oh, we got to wrap it up. I'm
son of a bitch.
That, guys. All right. Well, let's... you know what? Let's give away something while we're doing that. We have more turkey bacon. And I'll take caller number 6 at 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to get a six-pack of coupons good for six full-size packages for Godshall's Turkey Bacon. 215-263-WMMR. Godshall's locally made right here in Pennsylvania. Facilities powered by solar panels with a water recycling program that boasts zero landfill status. It's good for you and for the planet. Give us a call right now. We'll come back in a moment. We'll have a lesson question and more when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Pearl Jam, or as a couple of people are pointing out on text, Mookie Blaylock on 93.3 WMMR. Alive, song started it all for them. It's about 9 minutes after 10, and Preston Steve radio program. We're getting closer to giving away our prize for the week, our Word of the Week prize. And we'll do that when Pierre gets in here in just a little bit. Weather is kind of the thing that everybody's talking about. We had, obviously, a little bit of snow overnight. Didn't make things too crazy. Some spots were a little bit slick, but I think that's probably all cleared up by now. Expecting rain tomorrow in the evening. I have about 38. And then Sunday is when we're going to get a... There's a wintry mix, and then it turns into steady rain overnight. From what I understand, the timing of all this stuff is the weird part about it, because it's going to be... It's going to be like 46, 47 degrees on Sunday, but then on Monday, and they're expecting a lot of rain on Sunday, which means pooling water, and then it goes from, Kathy, I think you were saying like near 40 degrees down to, I mean, it shoots way
into
down.
Into the 20s by 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. And 16, I heard, was going to be
and then the low is in the single digits.
Yeah, so it's going to be really, really knocking down. So Monday is going to be an icy day.
It's Mother Nature basically doing one drink, one water.
Yeah.
One drink.
That's kind of what it's like.
Same deal.
So if you are making plans, keep the weather in mind this weekend, because it might impact whatever you have going on. We're going to do the lesson question for today and give away a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings play. And the question this morning, let me see here. How about, oh, man.
What?
All right. According to us, what is Gladys Knight's costume in The Masked Singer? Not what Casey said. It's what Steve said.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I forget what it was.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was dirty.
Okay.
But according to Steve, what is Gladys Knight's costume in The Masked Singer? Excuse me. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get it right. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
This morning brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Blac Chyna battling ex Rob Kardashian in court, claiming he has a disgusting fetish for being scratched aggressively. Kardashian tried to counter, claiming Blac Chyna is such a degenerate that she had sex with Rob Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
97-year-old Prince Philip was given and passed a DUI test after flipping his SUV on a private road near the family estate. The very lucky Philip was unharmed and reportedly left the scene with his sock and can of spray paint. After getting married at a courthouse, Justin Bieber and his new wife Haley are getting married again, but in a traditional wedding in front of family and friends. Haley says she will finally realize her dream of having a horse-drawn carriage, while Bieber says he wants a bounce house. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see if we can get this answer. According to us, what is Gladys Knight's costume in The Masked Singer? I'm going to go to Angela. Hi there, Angela.
Is it Antonella?
Angela. Okay. Oh. Hi, Angela.
It's Antonella.
Antonella.
Yes.
It's Walper.
You know we're talking to you, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping you are.
All right. What's your answer?
Is it Sweaty Butthole?
Sweaty Butthole!
Yeah. It was worth the wait.
All that to get the Sweaty Butthole.
Hey, dude.
No,
we'll do whatever it takes to get to a Sweaty Butthole.
Yeah.
Antonella, hang on a second, and we'll get your information. We'll get your name right. And we are going to make sure that we set you up with a four-pack of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings. And the Wings are back. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. Visit wingslax.com to buy your game tickets today. Now we can do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
I have got big balls.
Wow.
I changed it up.
That did change. I was not expecting that. All right, this morning... Music news brought to you by Godshall's. Eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon, accept no imitations. Let's begin with some info about Blink 182. They have not only officially announced that the band is in the studio working on their follow-up to 2016's California album, but it turns out that they have written a song together with the group The Chainsmokers. After the latter act revealed on social media that they had written... an amazing song with Blink. The trio's bassist, Mark Hoppus, confirmed it, writing, "It's true. We've been friends with them for a few years and have tried to collaborate a bunch of times. But today our schedules aligned, and we were all in the same room at the same time.
So I like the Chainsmokers.
They made it happen, yeah. Blink guitarist Matt Skiba chimed in, writing, "Great day on the job today with my brother Mark Hoppus. Hashtag feel like making song. Hashtag Pablo Horny." I like that one.
You know, Preston, I'm just I'm wondering how many other radio shows on the call screen are here that the winner next to the winner, it says sweaty butthole.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that's not, you're not seeing that on the NPR screening system.
No. Where and when the song that Blink and the Chainsmokers came up with will be unveiled remains a secret for now, but it's no secret that Blink is working on a new LP with photos recently surfacing on Skiba's Instagram page showing him and Hoppus in the studio. Black Sabbath will be honored with, in the band's hometown of Birmingham, England next month with the unveiling of a stainless steel bench on a bridge crossing Broad Street. News of the project first came to light last year, and it's now been confirmed that it will be revealed to the public at a ceremony on February 9th.
You've loved Black Sabbath. Now come see their bench.
When I first read this, I'm like, a bench?
Yeah.
That's all you could come up with is a bench for Black Sabbath? It's actually pretty cool looking.
Is it?
Yeah. So the bench features images of Ozzy, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward, and it's they're pretty large. You know, it's like a torso of them on the bench. So it's a little more than just a bench.
Okay. Now I see. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's being, it'll be on the bridge on which it's placed, and the bridge is being renamed Black Sabbath Bridge on Broad Street. Iommi, Butler, and Ward are all expected to attend the bench's dedication. In addition, it's been confirmed that Ward will also be awarded his own star on the city's Walk of Stars that same day.
That's cool. And the fence behind the press is going to be named Black Sabbath Fence.
Ward is the last of four original Sabbath members to get a star there.
And then there's a it doesn't work anymore, but it's a telephone, you know, one of the telephone booths. Boxes.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be called the Black Sabbath telephone booth.
You ever, if you guys are ever at a park and you'll see a bench that has a plaque on it.
And read it every time.
In loving memory of so-and-so. Yeah. I always read those.
I
wonder who they were.
Actually, I was looking into it because I do a lot of hiking down, Wissahickon Trail and Old Bells Mill Road there. They have the Bells Mill Road, whatever the hell it is. Anyway, there's a bench that's broken. I'm like, who do I contact to donate to get that fixed? And then maybe, you know, put a loving memory on. Because
is it in a park?
It's in a park. It's on a trail, but it's the bench is broken. It's broken, and I want it fixed. I'll take care of it.
The Parks Department,
hopefully. Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Yeah.
Do you read obituaries?
No.
No.
I don't.
I do.
It's a little too
morbid?
I don't like...
You're too busy on Craigslist looking for hot tubs.
I don't like to think about the freshly dead.
I do.
Yeah. I like when they're rotting.
I really enjoy reading obituaries because it highlights the best of what those people have done in their lives, and it points out things that they've accomplished. The only reason I bring it up is that it's sort of like reading a park bench because you see what they contributed to society.
Yeah.
You know, and people reflect more often than not fondly on those who have passed.
I love that way of looking at it. I think you carried it a step further. Why not incorporate the person's body into the bench?
Oh, yeah.
Like literally
use their
bones
as... Right. The legs.
And a little thing, the skull for cigarette butts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That'll be Mavis. She was great. She loved this park. She'll always be a part of it. Who am I putting this out in? It's Mavis's skull.
Okay.
She walked her shih tzu here every day.
She took a shih tzu through here every day. MMR rocks the Who. Moving on tour Saturday, May 25th at Citizens Bank Park. And guess what? Tickets are on sale right now. They went on 20 minutes ago via Ticketmaster.com. Pierre's going to have another shot at you to win those tickets this morning. And then one more thing that wraps up this weekend, I believe. Yeah, the contest entry deadline for this is on the 20th, so that's on Sunday. MMR VIPs, you want to go to the contest page because we have a chance for you to win our first of two Disturbed grand prizes for their February 18th show at the Wells Fargo Center. A winner and a guest get backstage passes to play foosball with the band before the show and a pair of lower level tickets and also a pass to raid the merch booth. It was a pretty sweet deal. So that wraps up on Sunday. So keep that in mind and go to the contest page at WMMR.com. By the way, and that's why I have music news. The clip you played of Mark Wahlberg, can you do that again? I loved Craig Gass's Out of Breath Wahlberg.
Yeah,
it was. I never realized how often in movies he is that way. Hey, guys,
you know, I came all the way over here. I said, what's going on? Yeah.
How often he is, or either he's mad and he's huffing and puffing. You know,
yeah, he does that. Yeah, that pentameter is spot on.
Yeah. All right, and that's it. That's what I have for you. What is this?
It's in reference to something we were talking about earlier today. I enjoyed this text a lot.
Preston is full of S. I waited 20 minutes and was still hungry, so I ate my work snack and my lunch. I worked till 7 and now I'm screwed. Tough it out, man. Maybe it's 30 minutes.
You got to be sniffing for 30 minutes?
No, not the sniffing. He skipped his snack. And so he ate a snack and
he
his
ate
lunch.
Everything. It made him hungrier.
Now he's screwed.
Oh, man.
Well, it works for me.
Yeah. All right. Where does he work? Maybe I'll drop something off for him.
You know, he needs to sniff a biscuit. Is that what you do?
Take him some bacon.
You know what? Call in now. I'll give you, if you verify your phone number, I'll give you a six pack of bacon. How about that?
Oh, there you
How
go.
How about that? Yeah. Will that work? Or no, does this guy not need bacon?
He doesn't need bacon. He needs to sniff a biscuit.
Dude, you biscuit sniffing prick.
He needs a bit of sniskin.
No, I'm not going to give him bacon.
No, but he could break it off into little pieces, keep it in his pocket.
I'm going to give it to caller number 14. One six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages of Gottschall's Turkey Bacon. I got it left, 215-263-WMMR. And you can find Gottschall's Turkey Bacon at Walmart, Sam's Club, Acme, Redner, ShopRite. Ask for Gottschall's at your local grocer. And we'll take care of you right now. We have one last break to take. Let's do that now. We'll come back in just a second. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Them's the Struts, 93.3 WMMR. Next time we see them live is going to be at MMRBQ, Saturday, May 18th, the BB&T Pavilion. Think about that while we get the freeze on Monday, about the warmer weather, which eventually will be here, especially in May. Shinedown, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts, Evanescence, also Fozzie, Bad Wolves, Glorious Sons, and more. So get those tickets as soon as possible and be there for the party.
Love the barbecue.
Always a damn
Always a time. Blast.
Mm-hmm. So thank yous are in order. Thank you to our buddy Frank Caliendo.
Yay!
Caladino came in earlier this morning. He's going to be at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino.
He's tonight, awesome.
Tonight at 9 o'clock. So you will be able to get tickets. You can go to frankcaliendo.com for full information of that. And what a gentleman Rick Allen of Def Leppard was.
Yes.
I love it when people are even nicer than you think they're going to be. And he was wonderful. And he is appearing tonight live in gallery at the Wentworth Gallery at the Hard Rock Hotel, 5 to 8 p.m. That's in Atlantic City. Right?
Atlantic City. Yeah. And then at the one in King of Prussia.
He'll be, well, not at the Hard Rock in King of Prussia.
Right, yeah.
Or the Wentworth Gallery. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
In King of Prussia from 1 to 4 p.m. So thanks to Rick Allen for being here. And thank you to Gottschall's Turkey Bacon for serving up the food for everybody here. Before we check in with Pierre and turn things over, we have to say goodbye to one of our own, our video department. This one really stings. Our buddy Kyle is leaving.
Oh, no.
Wide angle, Kyle.
Yeah.
Wide angle.
That Kyle.
You know, I would say there's nothing more biting for a budding videographer than having the whole city think you're that inept.
No, you weren't. You couldn't hear.
Yeah. There was no PA system outside
on the camp out. We were trying to cover the archery dodge. What do they call it?
Archery tag.
Tag. So yeah. and we were in the tent and you were getting video feed. You couldn't hear.
No, I was hearing what you were asking for, but on a 30-second delay. So,
but now you're wide angle, Kyle. You'll always be.
Yes, there's that.
That's a pretty good nickname.
It is kind of cool. Yeah.
W.A. Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, Kyle, before he ever began doing video work for us, was a big fan of the show and he'd send us clips of audio without us even asking for them. And so this is the first one he sent us was this.
Delco.
Yes. That's Kyle singing that. And that became a regular. And, you know, we still use it to this day.
Super talented.
Yeah, an amazing singer. Has sung with the Temptations, recorded with the Temptations.
Yes, yeah, so I had a recording contract for a little bit a few years ago, 2 years ago, under Otis Williams, the founding member of the Temptations. And I recorded an EP. We did a cover of Treat Like a Lady, which is a Temptations song.
Yeah.
And the Temptations sang background on it.
You know your R&B.
Yeah,
yeah, you're a Swiss Army knife with that. You do the video work,
yes. Well, and not only that, you toured with the Air Force,
right? There was a in 2014, there was a year where I was actually a singer. I came into the Air Force as an aircraft mechanic, mm-hmm. and then for 1 year I got to tour. It was a 9 month, 20 country tour.
That's so cool.
Wow. And we were our own roadies. We set up 64,000 pounds of stage equipment.
Though it's just one acoustic guitar.
Yeah. It was a huge amp.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we set up the entire stage. We rehearsed, and then we did the show and tore it all down after the show. You're talking about 20-something hour days.
And you would contact us and tell us when you could where you were and all these shows you're doing.
I'm in Guam today.
Yeah.
Guam wasn't really that nice.
No.
It kind of smelled, but yeah.
No, but and Kyle is do we have... activities?
Yeah.
Because that became very famous. Yeah. Go ahead, Case. Hit it.
I'm hitting it.
It's not working?
Oh, no.
You bastard.
Oh, that's too bad.
Let me move it here. Maybe
holiday activities.
What?
It's not working.
No. What?
What?
You try it.
Okay.
Yours worked.
Hang on. Nope, something's wrong
Did
with
you insult a gypsy princess?
That's interesting.
But anyhow, he's done fall activities and holiday activities. And
we were able to collaborate.
The jingles.
There you go.
Yes.
That's it. Yep.
We were able to collaborate on a holiday song.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Voice of an Angel.
That was great. That was absolutely great. So Kyle also does amazing video work. A lot of the Daily Rush videos you've seen is all through Kyle's editing and production. And we're going to miss you, man.
I'm going to miss you guys so much.
Yeah.
It's been a great 8 months, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping that you can, and by hook or crook in some way, you know, get in with all that's going on here, wherever that point of entry is.
I would love to.
But if you're looking for a multi-talented individual, here he is.
There is a position that's available right now.
Where
that they are interviewing for. So, Kelly.
Yeah.
Hire Kyle.
Oh, the...
He's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone has...
You applied for it?
I did. I applied the day it got posted. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, yes. And I've given my endorsement, and should stay on board. He's a very, very talented guy.
Thank you.
You want to give out your social media while we have on the microphone? You can plug your Instagram account?
Yes, you can follow me at the Kyle Mack. That's my stage name when I was recording, Kyle Mack. M-A-A-C-K, two A's. My website is MackAttack.com. If you go on there, you can find all of my music, video work. There's a tab on there called Portfolio. So if anyone in the job market, stuff doesn't work out here, just that's where you can find all my creative endeavors on
it's
there.
Well worth checking out if you're looking for creative people.
Are you single right now, by the way?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
No,
I didn't know
his
that.
Wife is. No.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to throw that out there if you were single, but no.
No. She's a lovely Nigerian goddess.
And she was out at the Christmas Miracle.
Yes, she was.
Very sweet.
Yeah, she enjoyed herself. She had a great time.
Cool, man.
I think Bill Weston kind of creeped her out a little bit. But.
He creeps everyone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Do you know the concept of low-hanging fruit? Who is this man? The lowest fruit is the easiest to get to.
I'm kidding.
Let me show you these berries. Check out my plums.
Let me show you these
Check out my plums.
It's not something you want to say when you
get
to the company.
He has nothing to do with it.
He has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
I love that man. He's
don't worry,
nice.
I'll get in trouble for you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Well, Kyle, we love you. And
I love
and
you too.
Thank you for all of your contributions to the show. And I'm
10 years. Yeah,
I'm really, really hoping. Yeah, that you'll be a full time member of the MMR staff or the Gritter Media or not Gritter Media, the Beasley Media.
I would absolutely love that.
We would love for you to be a member of our old company.
Good luck with that.
Sometimes, you know, old habits.
Almost gave out Y100.
We would love you to be a roadie for the image.
I know. Every now and then I do give out Y100's phone number.
I was going to say my favorite member is Rick Delgado.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, thank
you. Rick Delgado. You go way back.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick was an associate producer of our show for a minute.
Yeah.
And Kyle remembers him. Wow, that's funny. All right. Well, good luck to you, Kyle.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear it for Kyle.
Yay!
Guys.
Thank you.
Yay!
studio. Fans surround him.
Yeah. Pierre, how you doing, man?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Nice to see you, sir.
And to you, see nice also.
And to you, see nice also.
Yes, it's exactly what you say to an alien.
Exactly.
You have a way with words.
Yeah, I do. He's a wordsmith.
That's me, Smith.
That's me, Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a words with way.
There are times when, and I think you do it on purpose, that you just turn off a part of your brain and you just let it. You let it flow.
Well, we have a translation, right?
Am I right?
Preston.
Oh, we do? Oh, there's our translator.
Nell and Pierre.
That was a long time ago.
Stream of consciousness from time to
yes.
Time.
Yeah, you've got to get in the stream and let it go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we need to do the letter of the day. Can we?
I can.
Okay. All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
T, as in terrestrial.
All right, T. Let's take call number 8-215-263-WMMR, and we'll see if we can set you up with that prize coming up a little bit. How you doing today, man?
I'm great. It's got a nice winter vibe out there.
It's crisp,
but it's not cold. The roads are fine. It feels like winter, but it's not painful.
I'm okay with that.
I know you like to go hiking, Steve.
Yeah.
This is a nice day to go for a walk if you can. The roads for the most part are good and it's not too cold. I think I saw like a high of 39, 40, today. And so it's perfect for Friday.
Good. All right. It is
virtually beach weather.
I think it is, honestly. I tell you what, like years, I've done a few polar plunges, and this is much warmer than some years. When I did one year, it was 19 degrees.
Really?
Yeah, it was not good.
Wow.
Not good.
Well, Kathy in her bikini, I think there's nothing quite like it.
Even she just gagged for a moment. Did you see that? You go bikini and she's like, oh, brr.
You remember you had an intern years ago that liked to lick toes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
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 So
he licked Kathy's toe.
He might and be mine. Able to fix your toe fungus.
Just chew it right off.
Yeah.
Like a chew toy.
Yeah. There you go.
God, gross.
Like jerky, Casey.
And your bikini. So there it is. That's why we make pies.
What?
I'm telling you, there are times when he just shuts off the control part of the brain.
The intelligent part of the brain.
Something else
happens. Killer, mommy. Killer.
Something else happens.
The other part of me was sleeping.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get a winner. I'm going to go to George, caller number 8. Hey, George, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good, George. What's that word of the week?
I'm going to take a guess at it because I did miss one day. I think it's drift.
Will you spell that for me, George?
D-I-R-F-T.
I am so sorry. That's not correct.
Oh.
D-I-R-S-T?
Dearst?
Yeah, whatever it was, he got it wrong.
Okay, all right. That's why we need more than one caller on hold, if you wouldn't
With
mind.
Great
please.
Sadness. George, I wish you Godspeed for the weekend,
okay.
And other good things will come
May
your way.
You always have the best of Dearst.
Let's try this. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
Come on,
Mike.
Good God. Come and call me a rebel.
Mike.
I was getting through.
He's so excited to get through. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Mike, what's the word of the week?
Is the word draft? D-R-A-F-T?
Great day in the day.
That is correct, Mike, and I got Drew's $200 voucher and 4 tickets to see Don Felder in the Hot Rock Casino, and that's in Lansing on April
1. Did I win?
You won!
Did I win?
Yeah.
No way. Did I really?
Yeah! Yes. He's going so fast.
Are you all right, Mike?
The news hasn't gotten to him yet.
Have I won?
You won.
Okay, you won two rooms, $200 food voucher.
He's here right now!
4 tickets to see Don Felder at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City on April 6th, okay?
Awesome. You guys are amazing.
Thank you
very much.
That's the way you win.
Hang on a second, buddy. We'll take care
of you. Just slower.
Get your information. Tickets are on sale today at Ticketmaster.com if you want to see Don Felder. So what do you got coming up on the show today, man?
I thank you for asking. I will have 2 more opportunities for $1,000 coming coming at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., and that's your Go Fund Yourself. We'll also, by the way, we're not doing it on Monday because Monday is a holiday, Martin Luther King Day. So
it's a day of service and freezing.
It is, and none of us will have the contest word on that day, just to alert you. But I will have a giant block of The Who and a final pair of Who tickets to give away for their show, as you mentioned, Preston, that went on sale at 10 a.m. this morning, May 25th. Think about it. May 25th, we got The Who. A few days later, June 4th, we have the Rolling Stones, two of the greatest bands of all time from that marvelous little country of England, within 4 or 5 days of each other.
I mean,
within walking distance. Walk one stadium to the next stadium.
It's incredible.
You can go from The Who to The Stones.
And in between that will be Billy Joel, right? Or is that that's
no,
right
Billy
before.
Joel's the night before.
The night before. Yeah.
I mean, so you want me. These are all bands that MMR pioneered.
Yeah.
Other stations may claim them, but they're ours. So
they're filthy liars.
Yes. But think about it. Billy Joel on Friday night of Memorial Day weekend, Who on Saturday night, and a week later, the Rolling Stones. I mean, unbelievable the kind of music we get here. So that's cool. Tickets went on sale. I'll have a pair in that block. And Billy Idol is also coming our way, coming to Parks Casino. That went on sale, so we'll do a block of Billy. And we've got some other fun things to play in a vinyl cut, weekend calendar, all sorts of things.
Excellent. We'll wrap up the week in fine form with Pierre. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Jack Frost, Big Boulder Skiers, JFBB, where the snow comes first. Don't forget, Cardboard Classics coming up, man.
Yeah.
Got started on that. Worldwide Stereo as well. Get crazy good big game deals on soundbars and smart TVs in-store only. And French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Next week on the show, our good friend, our coach, Justin Guarini is stopping by.
Yes. See how far we've come.
Yeah. We'll also have the Gator stopping by.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
He's got a show coming up. That's so exciting. I can't believe it. That's so exciting. Just like Mike, the winner.
Yep. We also have...
That's the most excited you'll get me today.
We also have Todd Glass in the studio. We're going to talk to actor Steve Zahn.
Ah.
And in our studio, man, Richard Roundtree.
Shaft!
Are you kidding me? Shaft is going to be here.
Wow. That's going to be awesome. I'm a huge fan.
So and cool. Casey, I can't read your handwriting. Who's the other person?
Who does that say? Oh, Aldous Hodge.
Aldous Hodge, along with Richard Roundtree.
Loved him for years.
That'll be cool. Yes, me too.
He invented the humidor.
Yes, he did.
Hey, join me tonight. I'm going to be at the Motorsports Expo and Race Car and Trade Show and Jerky Stand. It's at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, PA. I will be there from 5 to 7. The show's going on all weekend long.
Sounds awesome.
So if you can't make it tonight, that's fine because they'll be there Saturday and Sunday as well. But I will be there, jerky and all, at from 5 to 7.
All right. Join Casey. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. Be safe with these liquor conditions that we're going to have to be dealing with in and around this weekend. And we'll see you on Monday, guys. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. See ya.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Sitting here at the bus stop with my daughter, and all we want is a damn snow day. What the hell?
Next message.
You know who I love? Carter Hart.
Next message.
Hey, will you guys who designed CSL and LED light bulbs do me a favor and shove one up your they'll last 10 years. You'll never replace one. I put a new one in about every 3 months. You guys are idiots.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.